Friday Eve. That's what it is today. Friday Eve.
It is?
Yeah, tomorrow's Friday, right?
Honestly, Wendy, I have no idea what day it is or time. I don't even know where I am right
This
now.
Is Frank Fontana. I'll tell you who he is. And
hey,
you are sitting in for Bill Left today. Thank you for doing that.
Well, you're welcome. It's my pleasure. I mean, I got the call. It was like the bat line lit up. It's like, I'm there. Robin, get the Batmobile.
Aren't you busy with this reality series you are filming? Tell us about, first of all, what it is.
Yeah, so we're shooting right now for our national TV show for FYI Network. It's an A&E-owned network. It's kind of new, but it's booming right now. It's hitting the millennials. And it's a makeover show. So for those of you who don't know who I am, I've been the host of Design on a Dime on HGTV for years. I've been a home improvement expert for over 15 years, author, radio host, got my own show here on WGN every Sunday from 1 to 3.
I listen to you, although I feel so inadequate right now when you go through all your accolades.
Oh, stop. You're making me do it. You're making me toot my own horn. But this new show is pretty awesome because I'm doing it. It's a little different. You know, usually I'm like the guy, the lead host and all this stuff and being the expert and whatnot. But this one involves my family. So my wife is my co-host. My kids, my son Luca and Lola, my daughter Lola are part of the show. And it's really awesome because we're getting to experience this as a collective family, you know, and versus.
It's not easy, though, is it? I mean,
it is the hardest thing I've ever done.
I believe it.
Because all the real world stuff, Wendy, you know, you got children that you deal with, the crying, the diaper changing, they're young.
And that's just my husband.
That's just your ba-dum boom. Yeah, I mean, like my daughter's 2, my son's 4, he's going to be 5. This is like super young age. They require so much attention. And throwing them into this world of television and Hollywood and, you know, the pressures that we're under to fulfill these real world makeovers. Because so it's a renovation show. If you ever watch Fixer Upper on HGTV, it's kind of, we're the better, cooler version of that, shot right here in the Midwest. And we're making over older homes from like 1950 and older, so all the way up to 1800s. We're doing Victorians, we're doing amazing homes. Some of them shot right in LaGrange in our backyard. And they get to be a part of this, and it's great. So on one side, it's like, you know, man, if we when they're older and we're older and we look back on our life and say, look at this scrapbook we have of what we did when you guys were like this age.
They're going to be like the new Kardashians, you know, now that you've introduced them to the TV world.
Butt implants, yeah. Yeah, no.
It's God, not gonna, I hope not.
My daughter.
So 2 and 5, that's a tough age. And
is.
You become liberated when you don't have to carry a diaper bag anymore.
Yes.
But it gets easier, but then it gets harder as they get older. I have 2 teenage boys.
Yeah.
And it's the family unit. I just want to tell you that people who seem to have the perfect family, they're liars.
All liars.
Because every family has a bit of dysfunction somewhere. Not necessarily bad, but away from the norm, I guess.
Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%. I say that all the time. If people come across and like, oh, God, my son slept all night. You know, like that to me kills me. When people have babies and they're like bragging how their children sleep and they're so perfect, I just tell them, wait. Wait
I know.
Until the exorcist arrives and their head starts spinning
yep.
and puking all night.
And every kid develops differently. I mean, there were people, you know, it's funny in the preschool and stuff. Oh, so-and-so is talking already or, well, oh, okay, well, whatever. My kid will get there, you know.
Right.
You don't have to be the first for everything. Everybody develops differently.
So why do you think that is? I mean, do you think people just model like the Martha Stewart lifestyle pre-jail time? For Martha.
It was a perfect life pre-jail.
Yeah.
I think people just are, listen, we had Anna Balaval on yesterday afternoon. She's coming
love
back
her.
This afternoon. She's a
bundle
of fun.
Yeah.
Let me just say that. I love her too. But it's parents are judgy and I never babysat before. She was saying she never did. When you all of a sudden become a parent, it's the real deal. You're not just, you know, if you do babysit, you're not just making a pizza for yourself and the kids and then putting them to bed and then you get to go home. So every day, I think every parent doubts themselves in some capacity.
If you don't, there's something wrong.
Right. But the people who do all the braggy, judgy stuff, I think, obviously, they have doubts, and they're just trying to make themselves feel better. Why did we watch the Jerry Springer show? To make ourselves feel better.
Of course. But, you know, and you got to take that a step further and say, are these the same people that are working from 9 to 5 or 9 to 7, coming home, seeing their kids for 3 hours to put them to bed, and then they go back to the same cycle for 5 days a week? And then they spend weekends with their kids, and they're complaining how difficult it is on the weekends. So versus the flip side where, you know, I'm not saying my wife's perfect or anything, but she's pretty awesome. She's a stay-at-home mom up until we started shooting the show. And, you know, she it's a grind. She went through it, and we're going through it still. I mean, we parent very – we're there's that detached parent society kind of thing, and then we're the opposite. We're the up-your-bum attached family. You know, like, we do everything together. I mean, like –
we did, too. That changes.
It does change. And but, like, for us, we constantly remind ourselves that it's only a blip in time that we'll have this – you know, opportunity to be this close with our kids.
And it's true, because when you think about it, I have regrets, like I should have done this, I should have been more patient. But you know what? It's an ongoing process, so do better now.
Yeah, yeah.
So home improvement has been booming. You know, we had rock stars, then we had chefs. Now we have people who do DIY stuff and remodeling. And so you auditioned people to be on the show. And what's different about this show, it seems, is it's not the network that's paying for all their renovation. These are people who wanted work done and agreed that they were going to do it and then agreed to let the cameras into their life.
Yes, these were, yeah, exactly right. They had budgets already. They were about to pull the trigger with other contractors or had bids out there already. And
so they're ready to roll.
They're ready to roll. And we, you know, once they saw the casting notices all over town, they're like, hey, we're doing this anyway. Why don't we jump on a TV show? Maybe we could, you know, some people are thinking we can get more out of our dollar, or maybe, you know, just document this moment in time. So it's challenging on so many levels, because every show I've ever done before, it was the network paying for everything, which means a different set of control.
Yeah.
You know, in this particular show that I'm working on now with the homeowner budgets, really, it's them still calling the shots.
So if they want to go over budget, if they want to do something
different. Nobody wants to ever go over budget.
I know you don't want
Trust
to,
me.
But, you know, on a lot of these shows, they say, oh, you can get like a laminate countertop, or you could go for the natural cement.
Right.
At that point, you're going to go, oh, we're doing it. You may as well. Are
Find
you finding
the money
that
somewhere.
Happening?
Oh, yeah. At every turn. You know, and the challenge is to appease the homeowner, to appease the network, meet our schedules, you know, and we have a condensed time frame where in the normal construction process, everybody sets goals and time frames of, oh, we want to be done by, you know, 2 months. And then if things change, all right.
Don't they always change?
They always change. It's construction. That's what happens. There's no magic crystal ball to say, like, for instance, one home that we were working in LaGrange right now, we open up the walls. And nobody has x-ray goggles. We found extensive fire damage that was hidden by the previous owners. All knob and tube wiring.
That's what we have. We have to update that.
It's dangerous.
It is.
And the cause of the fire we have discovered is knob and tube wiring.
I know. Don't tell me that.
I'm going to scare you one step further. Our guys were in there working. They're plugging their tools into the wall. And all of a sudden, everyone's like, oh, shh, listen. And you're hearing this
sizzle. Oh, my God.
A humming, vibrating sound coming from the walls. And they started to see outlets smoking. So they immediately killed the power. And I'm not trying to scare you, but it's
all right, too late.
I'm sorry. It's a real problem. So, you know, what do? You tell a homeowner, you know, these people are vacationing in Florida. We call them up and say, I got bad news for you. A, we found, you know, $20,000 worth of fire damage that, and they just bought this house, like literally 2 weeks before we started filming the show. So they had no idea. They inspectors go in there, and nobody opened the walls up, obviously, because you don't do that in an inspection.
No.
I mean,
but an inspection would have shown that it was knob and tube wiring.
Yes. But certain areas of this home were kind of updated.
Yeah,
but
that's what ours is.
And then by code, when you open the walls and you expose that wiring, you have to change it.
Right.
So it's either you ignore it.
I guess
it doesn't
I remember
exist.
That when we bought our
yeah,
house.
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, we're this is the first of its kind when it comes to these kind of makeover shows. We are really making history in our genre of television right now.
All right, he's Frank Fontana. We'll find out how real a reality show is. We'll come back, 312-981-7200. Bill Leff is off for the rest of the week, taking some time off, playing tennis, playing with toys, doing whatever it is he does.
I was getting a mani-pedi this morning. Is this true?
Oh, that was not for air.
Oh,
it's Bill Leff on vacation, Wendy Snyder, Frank Fontana, 720 WGN. It's Wendy Snyder here along with Frank Fontana, who's sitting in for Bill Leff today. And I'm thinking about Abraham Lincoln, and I'm thinking about his house. Mm. And did he obviously had to make his doorways bigger, right?
Yeah. I mean, he was a tall guy.
And add the top hat?
With the top hat, you're talking over 7 feet. Easily. Grand entrance right there.
All right. You are doing a new makeover show on the FYI network.
Yeah. I'd love to reveal the name, but our network executive has said, well, I could tell you this. We were supposed to be on air in December. Great news is they've seen footage of what we've shot so far, and they're in love with the show, and they moved up the air date to October 1st.
So, that's exciting, but are you going to be ready? Are you going to be finished with stuff?
Mm-mm.
I guess that adds to the excitement,
yeah,
doesn't it?
It does. I mean, this is so crazy. I mean, I'm blessed. We are truly blessed to have how many people get to say they have their own television show that involves their family and stuff.
I know.
But the reality.
Kardashians.
Right, the Kardashians, right. There's only a handful.
I'm
right?
just busted.
I love a little of that Kardashian cash, so I trade it out a little bit. But, you know, we're going to get it done.
And we
have no choice. Will it be pretty? Will we be, you know, beat, battered, and bruised by the end of it? Yes, but you know, this is the reality of reality television. You know, it's not so glamorous. You know, people look back and watch it from your TV. You know, I met Bruce Jenner a couple times up in the Today Show green room, and we were talking about, you know, how is it to shoot a show like the Kardashians? You know, and this is before he was Caitlyn,
right?
And he said to me, he's like, you know, Frank, he goes, I got to tell you. He's like, it's a couple things. Rule number one, if you're going to do it like we're doing it, you got to control the production.
And it's sometimes hard to do.
It is. But they have all those, that company's in their pocket. Like nothing gets, what he told me is that they review all the footage. Everything that you see on that show gets approved by the Kardashians.
Which that's a job in itself, going through all that video.
Completely. I'm sure they have a production staff that's dedicated just to that. And then PR has to sign off on that stuff. And then he said, you know, he's like, the other misconception is people could sit here and say things about Khloe and Kim and that they're, you know, their claim to fame is based on a sex tape, you know. And yes, that's how they started. But he said, these girls are some of the hardest working girls in the business, and they do work their butts off to get what they got.
It's different, though, when you have a lot of money and the bills are paid and you're in a huge house and everything's going well. It's easy then to focus in on your fashion company and your makeup company and your husband's.
Yeah.
You know, it's easier. The pressure's off then.
I agree.
And, you know, reality shows I like to watch, but I don't know how true they are.
What are some of your favorites?
I like Big Brother. I like Survivor.
You still watch those shows?
Sort of. My interest is waning
Bachelor?
A little bit. I have never watched one episode of Bachelor or The Bachelorette, ever.
Yeah, that show is fascinating to me. Because, you know, it's so stupid. Like, you know, it's like you really are going to fall in love in 7 weeks, you know, and you're on a remote island with these people and you're making, you know, one girl's making out with 10 guys. A, that's gross. You know, like, think about it.
But was it gross if a guy is making out with 10 girls?
It's a little different.
Oh, yes, right. Kevin's laughing at you.
What would you say, Kevin?
See?
He's almost married, so he's going to be
I think it's gross either way.
Yeah, okay.
It's a lot of spit.
Good answer.
It is a lot of spit. I agree with you. A lot of spit.
Yeah, but that's like one night at a bar. A good night.
This is true. I mean, when you're in your early 20s, that's kind of normal, isn't it?
Yeah, but who, you know, these people are just going on these shows to benefit from it. That's why this show is so different, because they're not getting, you know, their homes paid for when they decide what to do. I want to know what's edited in, though, and stuff. Like, you have invited cameras into your home. And
into our personal space. Like, this is different for me.
Big time.
I'm always a hands, you know, one arm length removed from letting people into my personal life. So, I mean, we just shot a scene at my house yesterday. My kids are running around in it. You know, we got neighbors walking over and they're part of the scene now. And it's like it's kind of, you know, in our small town, LaGrange, Wendy, it's a big deal. You know, we got the mayors excited about it. We got everyone excited about it. But for us personally, you know, it's taken a little bit. My wife and I really had to sit down and say, do we really want this? Like, we're opening ourselves up to everything. I mean,
criticism,
people
judgment.
Are nasty on the
I
internet.
Know.
You know, and whatever. People could say what they could say. I mean, our approach to this is just being us. And if you don't like us, then don't watch the show.
That's totally
true. That's pretty much the truth right there. You know, where if you watch a show like Fixer Upper, you know, to me, that's like, everything's so pristine and perfect, and oh, come to my farmhouse and let's sit. You're not going to get that with us. It's going to be like, hey, we're Chicago, you know,
we're raw.
Like, you know, let's come hang out with the Fontanos. You know, like, let's have a barbecue and like talk about design. It's just like we do when we're sitting here, you know, chopping it up. You know, like, it doesn't. What I do has this delusion of grandeur, you know, interior design, and you know, people have, oh, come with your big presentation boards, and let's go to the merchandise mart, and I love the mart. No, don't
yeah,
get me
it's
wrong.
Great,
but who can really afford that?
Not you know, everybody it's like, can.
It's probably 4%, you know, of the people out there spending money on their home renovations. Everybody wants great things, you know, but the reality is, if you're not. Like, that's been my whole brand is based on the fact that I'm going to give you something beautiful, but I'm not going to rob you. I'm not going to take the money out of your pocket to do it. You know, at every turn, I'm going to try to save you some money. I'm going to try to steer you in a direction that's going to give you the look you want. At the same time, not break your bank.
All right, but you look at all these websites and stuff, and you see these beautiful houses and these unbelievable outdoor cabanas with the, you know, built-in grill and the cement. I mean, it seems to me like the majority of people can't have that.
You're right, but it's if you do the comparison to the modeling industry and health and self-esteem, it's the same thing. You know, a young girl can look at a teen magazine and see these beautiful girls in the teen Vogue and aspire to be that and want that. But is the reality, you know, of this girl, does she have the same metabolism as these people? Does she have the same genetics and genes? Or, you know, so it's aspirational, but it's become a problem just like it has with young girls and boys.
Absolutely.
You know, like people like, oh, you know, anybody looking at these, you know, like HGTV, for instance, or any other show that's inspirational, they're looking at it and it becomes a problem because they start to feel bad that they can't have that.
Right.
Right. So then they'll overspend and overextend to get, you know, to keep up with the Joneses. And in the end of the day, that's not, I mean, we live humbly in my home. You know, like we're not, you know, multimillionaires. We have nice things and that I can afford, and I know how to pull it together so it looks probably a little bit nicer, you know, than most. But it's just because I know the tricks and I apply those tricks. But we're not out there buying the most expensive countertops or buying the most expensive windows. You know, we live in a 100-something-year-old home. It's crooked. It's old.
You can roll a marble down your hall and it'll zigzag like in our
house. But I can
tell
you this, Wendy, and I'm sure it's true for your house. People love our home. And it's not because of the decor. It's because of the energy we put in that home. And it's the love that we come out of that home.
Look at that. You know? We have a lot of projects that we wanted to do. And I was thinking, oh, we should audition to be on your show. And then I thought, we're just not ready to let cameras into our house because it's loud. We're a loud house.
Well, you would be awesome TV. Your family would make phenomenal television.
So many people would hate us. Or really love us. I don't know. I think
they love you.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break, do some news. Frank Fontana in for Bill Leff. I'm Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. Thank you, Veronica. It's Wendy Snyder here. Bill Leff is off for the rest of the week, so we're doing a wide variety of special guest co-hosts today for the first half of the show anyway. Frank Fontana.
Hey there. How's it going?
All right. You just turned me on to something that I don't know if I'm turned on by or turned off by, but it's interesting.
Yeah, to say the least. So I was having a conversation yesterday with a couple of folks on the construction site. And this one guy says, you ever see this crazy hot Matrix video on YouTube? Which I suggest if you want to, you know, follow along here, go ahead and log on to YouTube and punch in the crazy hot Matrix. So he proceeded to play this video. And it's a tactical response officer, a guy who does this for a living for terrorism. And through his many years in life, created this chart that analyzes the crazy to hot spectrum for women. So it was meant
a little sexist.
A little sexist, agreed. it's meant to kind of dissect where you should be at in the realm of looking and searching for that right person.
All right, can we hear a little of, I got to get his name, that I don't have right now, but they do have a hot crazy Matrix on Facebook. Kevin, have you seen this? It's.
I have not seen the video, but I'm familiar with the concept.
All right. Well, it's been around forever.
Yeah, let's quickly. I mean, did you meet your fiance in the Matrix? Did you apply her to the Matrix?
Don't answer that question, Kevin.
She's hot and not crazy.
Good answer.
I'm sorry. Women are a little crazy because we have to live with men.
So this chart starts at a 4.
Well, let's do this. This is the guy. I'll get his name, but he's explaining how he goes about with this chart a little bit.
Okay, so this is the universal hot crazy matrix. It's everything a young man needs to know about women. I've developed this on my own over 46 years of living on the earth. So this is how it works. You have your crazy axis and your hot axis. Hot is, as usual, measured from 0 to 10. We're all familiar with that. Crazy is measured from 4 to 10 because, of course, there's no such thing as a woman who's not at least a 4 crazy.
I wonder how much hate this guy got.
I'm sure. A ton.
All right. He goes through and explains there are various zones. When you have someone who's not very hot but kind of crazy, that's like the do not touch area.
Yeah. There's the I think it was above a 6 and up is where you kind of want to stay away from. And then he lists the several examples of like girls who work in the adult industry, strippers, anybody named Tiffany.
Hang on. I got that. Boy, this guy, we should book him on the show. Kevin, what's his name?
I believe it's Dana McClendon.
Dana McClendon.
All right. He talks about the fun zone, and that is a woman who is on the Richter scale of 0 to 10, at least 5 in the hot department.
Yeah.
And about 4 or 5 on the crazy. So 5 to 8 hot, and then you can be a little crazy. That's the fun zone. But then above the fun zone, where someone's a little crazier, this is what he explains.
Above the crazy line, we have the danger zone. This is your redheads, your strippers, anyone named Tiffany.
hairdressers.
This is hairdressers. This is where your car gets keyed, you get a bunny in the pot, your tires get slashed, and you wind up in jail.
I don't think he is.
I got to be honest with you. In my early teens and 20s, I have dated some Tiffany's and some hairdressers. And he's right. There is a certain level of crazy that...
Obviously, you didn't date any radio people.
I did not.
Because they're crazy. Everybody has some crazy in them.
I'd love to hear from our listeners. I mean, have you experienced this crazy hot matrix? Because I want to know firsthand from the people listening, does this apply? I mean, can women out there agree to this and say, yes, I was crazy hot. I was that, you know, level 6 danger zone at one point. I think we mature as people. And then he goes to the end of this video. If you fast forward it, he has a male chart.
Oh, that's the one I want to see.
Yeah, so let's get that, and then we can get both sides of the spectrum, because I believe that it goes both ways, and certainly could be, you know, skewed. I think there's plenty of guys. I mean, my wife's ex, she told me stories that he would, like, jump on a car and light it on fire to get her attention. I mean, that's crazy.
That's top of the heap crazy.
That's number 10 crazy right there.
All right, I don't know where it's... He talks about there's a date zone... and we have a redhead defending herself. Hey, Pam.
Hey, I was just listening, and they clumped redheads in with crazy, like over 6 or something. I happen to be a redhead, and I don't think I'm quite that crazy.
Quite that, but explain quite that. What level of crazy would you honestly say that you're at?
Out of 4 to 10, because
4 to 10, because 4 every.
Out of 4 to 10, I would be above a 4, but not quite a 6, so maybe a 5.
A 5. That's
I'm
reasonable.
A German redhead, so I think you have to sort of kind of factor in the ethnicity there too. So,
Pam, why do you think he blanketed redheads? Do you think there's a reason? Do we not know anything in the?
Well, they say redheads have a fiery personality. I have a redhead.
Yeah,
and he's. Yeah. I think redheads are very smart.
Thank you. Thank you. I consider myself to be somewhat smart.
I don't think redheads should be grouped into that. I think
I'm a little thrown by that one. Maybe you had some personal experiences with some redheads.
Maybe, yeah, maybe.
All right,
yeah.
Well, thanks for defending the redheads out there, Pam.
No problem.
You have a good one. You want more from this guy?
I'd love to hear the guy's side of the matrix. Because I
didn't get to that, but here's a little, here's another zone that he's talking about.
You have this zone here. This is below the crazy line. Above an 8 hot, but still, you know, about a 7 crazy. This is your date zone. You can stay in the date zone indefinitely. These are women that you introduce to your friends and your family. They're good looking, and they're reasonably not crazy most of the time.
Okay? Reasonably
so
not.
You can stay here indefinitely. Now...
This guy is crazy.
Above an 8 hot and between about a 7 and a 5 crazy, This is your wife zone. Okay?
So you want your wife
when
a little crazy.
When you meet this girl, you should consider a long-term relationship.
That's my wife, but right there.
That is?
I'll admit it. I think she'd admit that, too.
All right, we have to take a break, and I got to find the men's scale because, you know, men are just jerks sometimes, I will say.
I agree. I mean, would you say this guy is jerky?
Oh, this guy, really. I wouldn't show my face in public. There's a Facebook page, The Hot Crazy Matrix.
Kevin, how many millions of people views does this video have? Do you know?
14,969,324 views.
And out of that, I wonder how many are women?
Oh, that's a good point.
That would be a good... Because you know it's probably spread like wildfire. Have you seen this web? God,
I'm telling you, just men are watching this.
You think?
Yes, and when they're hanging with their buddies, they're going, oh my God, this is so dead on.
So true.
And then they go home and they're like, no, honey, I didn't see that YouTube video. I'm not one of the 14 million.
babe, you're about a 4. You're a 4'10".
All right, it's Wendy Snyder. It's Frank Fontana at 720. 312-981-7200, by the way. Join in this conversation because, really, I think this guy should be hiding himself from now on.
I agree.
It's 720 WGN. I'm going off the rails on a crazy train. All right, Frank Fontana in for Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder here, and you brought this to my attention. Right.
And you're so glad I did.
Yeah,
you?
I am. I really am. And so, crazy people, there's the guy.
Well, hold on. Define that. Crazy women.
Yes, at this point, yes. And we were talking about what is a good fun zone, a little bit crazy, but very hot.
Yeah.
There's a date zone. There's a wife zone. And then there's a final zone, as told by, I still don't know his name.
Jeff,
Kevin?
Is it?
His name again?
I think it was Jeff something, I want to say.
It was Dana McClendon.
All right. Dana McClendon. Okay.
This is what Dana has to say about the last category of the Hot Crazy Matrix.
Now, below a 5 crazy and above an 8 hot, this is your unicorn zone. These things don't exist. If you find a unicorn, please capture it safely, keep it alive. We'd like to study it and maybe look at how to replicate that, okay?
This can't be real. This can't be real because he's kind of laughing at himself. And then at the very end, he's talking.
I think it's real. I'm not going to lie to you. I think this guy put a lot of thought into this because he's a tactical police officer and he does this for terrorism operation. So he breaks down matrices for, you know, his job. So he just took his knowledge base and transferred it over to relationships and women. And
he believes this, you think?
I believe he believes it. I mean, Kevin, do you believe he believes this?
Well, I want to say, like, and I'm not just trying to be diplomatic. I think it can go both ways, both sexes. Like,
funny you mentioned that because he was asked by like a Steve Wilkos lookalike at the end of this video. Here, check this out.
Matrix. All right, Dana, that was pretty good. Now, let me ask you, like, for the women watching, is there a male version of that? I mean, would it also be...
Oh, yeah, it's a little simpler.
If a dude is super hot, okay.
Yeah, it's a little simpler, but we can do it real quick. It doesn't take very long at all. For women, this is your matrix.
He's drawing a grid.
You got your cute axis, and you got your money axis. Okay?
So cute and money.
And
the guy grid.
If you have... There's only 3 sections. Women have a very large no-go zone. This is for dudes who are neither hot nor have a lot of money. You'll notice over here, this is the husband section. Once you cross a line and have sufficient amounts of money, it is no longer relevant how hot you are.
Oh,
this is true.
And then women
this is
have
so
a fun
true.
Zone here where a dude is broke but hot.
That's the fun zone.
Yes.
Broke but hot.
That is the cute versus rich matrix for women's groups.
All right. There you go.
We got calls coming in. We want to hear from you guys. 312-981-7200. I'd love to hear from Tom, a man's perspective on this.
All right, Tom, go.
Well, first of all, we have to develop some type of Pulitzer Prize or something for this man because he's a genius. This is spot on, 100% correct. And Wendy, the problem with like the redhead that called in that like she's not really that crazy is crazy people don't realize that they're crazy. That's why they're crazy.
I don't believe that.
I think I got to side with Tom on this because crazy I mean, don't realize crazy sometimes.
Yeah, my wife was in the hot zone, so I married her, and then she took the space shuttle to the crazy zone, and every time we argue, she's like, I did not do that. I did not say that. to the point where I have to now video the crazy to prove with the phone that it actually has happened.
Good for you,
How's that
Tom?
Marriage going, Tom, that you have to video, you need video proof that your wife has taken the space shuttle to Crazy Town?
It's we're at 23 years, and I think that the phone has helped me, because she does look and then go, you know, I'm really sorry that I did that. I just don't remember doing that. So she goes into that Sybil mode every once in a while.
All right. Well, Tom married her because she was in the hot zone. Were you in the cute zone or the money zone?
No, that was me. I had the money, because I'm definitely not hot.
See, Tom, I like your honesty, man. Like, that's what it's all about right there.
Hey, the overweight, balding male, all women are looking for that, right?
So, Tom, in your opinion, this guy is spot on, and this is truth.
This should be a constitutional amendment.
There you go.
Oh, man. Boom. Again, over almost 15 million views on YouTube of the Hot Crazy Matrix. Tom, thank you very much. Want to talk to Maggie?
Let's talk to Maggie.
Hey, Maggie.
Hi, Wendy. Yes, I'm listening to your comments about this hot, crazy matrix. First of all, is this your first encounter? I mean, where have you guys been? It's been out there for like over a year, I think.
Seriously?
But yes.
Yeah, I was just turned on to this by a friend. I mean,
that's how it happens.
Late to the party.
Yeah, that's us. We're crazy late to the party, totally. Frank and I.
It is WGN. I mean, we're a little late to the party.
When I heard it, I'm like, what? But no, but you know what, Wendy, you're really giving women a bad name. You are taking this way too serious. And I know a lot of women who have watched it and think it's hysterical. It's very funny. It's tongue-in-cheek part of it. Part of it's true. I know crazy women. You don't. You know, I don't know. You know, then you're exceptional.
No, like, I am one. I'll admit I am crazy, Maggie.
Okay.
But evidently you are,
you know,
too.
What's the problem with, you know, having fun with something like that? And why should this guy hide because he did it? I mean, really? I mean, he's...
I did say that tongue-in-cheek as well, Maggie, but I think it's very misogynistic. And in order to get a good wife, she's got to be hot and not too crazy.
Okay, well, okay, yes, there are a lot of misogynistic comments that are made throughout our society all the time. This happens to be humorous, and I'm not so thin-skinned that I can't laugh at some of this.
Are you hot or crazy or both, Maggie?
Yeah, I'm curious myself. Where do you put yourself on this scale, Maggie?
Oh, you know, I probably would just leave that to someone else to decide.
Gotcha.
But I've been probably told I'm a little crazy. I find it very comforting, quite frankly, to be crazy sometimes.
I agree with you.
I just think you gotta like kind of let it go and just laugh at it. I think it's really quite brilliant and very funny. And a lot of it is tongue-in-cheek, and there's also Amends, which is where you have to see.
Yeah, we played it. Maggie, yeah. I just have a quick question for you. We have to break so we can hit news on time. I'm just curious, have you made your decision on who you're going to vote for this election?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you mind sharing it with us?
No, I'm a Hillary fan. I'm a Hillary person.
That
always
surprises me.
It's not going to change.
Really?
That surprises me. When you called in, I thought you were going to go the other way.
Oh, no. I could totally peg her as Hillary.
Don't try to put me in a box.
I'm not putting anybody in any box.
Okay. Nobody puts Maggie in a box.
I'm not that serious. No, I mean, I am for, you know, I am definitely for women's rights. I'm for standing up for women. I don't like it when people are too thin-skinned. You know, I grew up and I was a child of the 70s. So, you know, I think this over kind of zealous kind of protection of, oh, don't say this or that is, you know, it's ridiculous. You know, put your big girl pants on. People say stuff. It's okay. It doesn't hurt you. You know, it is what it is, and life goes on. So
I agree with you, Maggie. And, you know, working in radio, this August will be 30 years I've been in radio. I've seen a lot of, you know, misogynistic behavior.
Sure.
I will tell you that. So I don't have real thin skin. I'm hoping this guy is kidding and not doing it for reals.
And keep your pants on.
Oh, no. You saw him, right?
Yes.
Well, okay. Well, enough said. So.
But I do believe he put a lot of thought into this.
Absolutely.
He definitely did.
Maggie, thank you so much for calling.
You're
we appreciate
welcome.
It.
Listen to you guys a lot. Bye.
Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to put my big girl pants on.
I think,
They're a little tight, but I will put them on. We'll take a break.
As opposed to your skinny jeans you got on now.
And we will take a look at news. It's Frank Fontana. It's Wendy Snyder. It's 720 WGN. Booze. hot sausage and mustard.
I always wanted to talk like that.
Go ahead.
Hello. Hot sausage and mustard.
All right. Bill Leff is not here today. Frank Fontana is in his chair.
Nice and warm. It's got like these little rounded butt cheeks. It's got a small butt, Bill. Mine's a little bigger. He's gonna come back and there's going to be bigger...
Butt prints?
Yeah, butt prints.
Did Bill text in for you to play that intro music? Because that is right up his alley.
That's all me.
Oh, great job. We are going to talk food. I'd like to introduce you to Chris Durso. Chris, we've had you on before. You are the founder and main contributor to fooddiggity.com. How have you been, Chris?
I've been great. It's good to be back.
We talked to you a while ago, and just to remind people, this is something fun that you started doing with your son, I believe, right? Just putting together the actual outlines of each state of the United States of America in a food-related item.
Yeah, we did all 50 states made out of food.
And you have just completed it, though. When we talked to you last time, you weren't completely done with the whole 50 states, were you?
Yeah, you caught me about halfway through the project. We were about 26, 28 states in. And, yeah, we finished up all 50. And ever since, we've been doing some bonus states, too, just to keep it going and have some fun with it. So it was a blast, a long project, but it was a lot of fun.
And Chris, last time we spoke to you, I don't think you had done Illinois yet. So why don't you tell us what the final Illinois was?
I had it. Yeah, Illinois. I did about three states after I spoke to you guys last, and we wound up doing Fusillinois out of Fusilli pasta.
Fusilli, yeah. The pasta. Illinois.
Chris, do you have a specific method to your madness when you pick the state? Do you look for the state food? Is there a plan, or you just whatever like floats your boat that day?
It's really whatever floats my boat. It's not necessarily having to do with the state itself, but it's more once we came up with the idea of changing the state names, it really came down to whatever sounded the best, or then it was, okay, that sounds great, looks great, but how do I then pull that off? And got to be honest, making Illinois out of fusilli pasta was not very fun, but we managed and it worked out. Yeah, so.
Especially if it was al dente, because it's hard right. to bend the pasta.
Exactly.
Yeah, we did have to overcook it, which I wasn't happy about, but just to get it malleable. But we managed, and it turned out well. But it took a few tries. I got to be honest, the state was a little the curves and contours of Illinois were a little challenging.
Chris, two questions for you. How old is your son?
Well, he was 8 at the time that he had the original idea, and
so this was his idea.
The original germ of the idea was him coming home and saying, "Hey, Dad, why don't we do states and they could be out of food?" And I was like, "Oh, okay, I've seen that before, but
how do you say no to your son? You know, it's like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll do that.
Yeah, like you pat him on the head, and you know, but it wasn't until we then said, well, what if we renamed them and came up with these silly names for food, the states like New Pork and Fusillinois, stuff like that. New Pork was actually the original idea, and then we just ran with it, and then before I knew it, I had renamed about 30 states, so that's how it started, really, yeah.
And fooddiggity.com is your website, and it's really one of the best food culture sites I have ever seen, and it actually says the greatest food culture site ever. Wow. I won't dispute that. So you had food in your blood when your son finally said, you know, hey, let's do something with this. And I want to know if bacon etiquette is everyone's favorite, since everyone likes bacon.
It is up there. It's probably top 5, just for Connecticut got lucky in that. It flowed, and they got bacon.
They got the bacon.
Yeah, and I'm glad you didn't go cliche with the foods, you know, like pairing per state, like Idaho, the potatoes. You could have been really, you know, boring with that, but you chose not to, and I like that. The other part to my question was, do you eat the food after you make it? And then
mostly
good. So there's no waste happening here, which is really important. And then secondly, what ultimately is the end game to this, Chris? I mean, it started off as a great, cute idea for your kid, and now it's flourished into something that is garnishing lots of views and some steam, and you're here on the radio show with us talking about it. What ultimately is this going to be?
It's funny you ask. Well, first, we did try to produce as little food waste as possible. So, and every state you see is made out of the food that we, you know, that we mentioned. So Fusilinoi is made out of pasta, and it's completely edible afterwards. So we tried to waste as little food as possible. And the end game, I wasn't really sure as we were going along. You know, we were like, as I got into the 40s, I was like, what are we going to do with this? And the overwhelming request came in of putting together a full map of all the states. Like, you're going to do a full map? You're going to put all these together and make a map of the United States, right? It's like, oh, sure, yeah, let's do that. And then we wound up doing that. And after the 50 states were done, we composed a full map of the United States. And we put it together and actually sell it now as a full map, and it's become a fun kitchen accessory for people. They've been putting it up in their kitchens, and it looks great on the wall. And that became kind of the end result of the entire project.
My favorite, well, I can't say my favorite because every time I say it's my favorite, I find another one, but I like Nebraska Bob. It's a kebab.
Yeah. That was fun to make and eat afterwards, I'll be honest, yeah.
I like the cinnamon Deanda roll. I can't even say that.
You can't say
cinnamon
it right.
Deanda roll. Just cause yeah. I like cinnamon rolls.
Smorgon.
Smorgon's good. That's a good
what
one.
What a great idea, though, to have this as a little framed print in your kitchen.
Yeah, it actually, I didn't really give that much thought until it was suggested by
your son.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
I hope your son's got a good deal with you right now. It sounds like he's the brainchild of this entire operation.
He is. I've mentioned it every once in a while. I've gone to his head quite a bit. You know, he went around school telling everybody his project is all over the internet, and he was really, really excited about it. He got taken care of. We got him a few Lego sets from, you know.
Nice. So. That's great. He's going to sue you when he's like 17. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know. I gotta think of that because he's obviously an intelligent little kid. So I gotta
get your paperwork in place now, Chris.
All right, new Spamsure is pretty funny, made out of spam, which I know they like it in Hawaii. I don't like it at all.
No,
it's not good.
Spam is gross.
And I didn't. I think I passed on eating that one afterwards.
I know what you did eat for sure. South de Coco Puffs.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was definitely. And then we had, and then my kids were excited that we then had Cocoa Puffs in the house for the next week or so.
Chris, I'm surprised you didn't get approached by like Food Network or like the Cooking Channel, to like document this entire process and this idea.
Yeah, I mean, we got some. It got some good interest through the internet. And, the fun story was that, my son was involved and we did it kind of as a team. We did get approached with some, we got some good interest on it. I it was got really great attention on it. I'd love to turn it into something more.
Where do you go from here? I mean, do you start
the
going the world?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, we have ideas for future projects. I got to be honest. I mean, I thought of doing countries and they just don't have that same, I don't find it as easy to rename countries as we did states. And then, I have to remember that with countries, I'm now, doing it for an entire country. So, like, if I miss the mark, I'm going to probably rub more people the wrong way.
Right. And that can get a little funny when it comes to some of the terrorist states. You don't want to be, messing that up.
Right. And you could go... Go ahead, Chris.
There's a lot more food culture, with states. I found there you could have a little bit more fun with. Countries might be take the whole food culture thing a little bit more seriously, might not be able to, so I don't know. But I just, when it came down to it, it just came down to countries are a little bit harder to rename, and states just kind of lend themselves to wordplay a little bit more. Mm. But we do have some more future projects in the works, yeah.
I know what you're doing. You're going to do the outer space constellations and everything because you already have the Milky Way. That would be perfect.
Yeah.
Get Milky Way to sponsor that. You're in business, Chris.
Well, the natural progression would be to do the states and then countries and then, tackle the universe. Who knows? So
monetization, Chris. That's where you're at. Monetization.
Yeah. We're on monetization now. We're working on that. Much like the United States, we're all about capitalism, so...
Right, exactly.
All right, well, Pretzelvania kind of makes sense because Snyder's of Hanover is there, and I love prosciutto.
Prosciutto.
Prosciutto. These are very hard to say. You have to practice.
Yeah.
Congrats on having all the 50 states. And do check out fooddiggity.com. There's some great information. There's a Food Diggity store. And if we'd like to get this map of the Food United States of America, I'm taking it. It's available at the fooddiggity.com store.
It's I already coincidentally had a web store, the Food Diggity Shop, and there's a link to it on my site, and the poster as well as a few individual states are available there. Yeah, if anybody wanted to check it out.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
and
Chris,
will you please keep us posted when you start your next project? Because we all love food, and what better way to enjoy it than when it's shaped like your state?
Like Kentucky.
I definitely will. I'll definitely keep you posted. And I'll send over a Fusilinoi when we print those up.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Chris. Continued success. I just like this story because with all this crap going on in the world, it's nice just to look at states shaped like food.
It's basic. Just keeps you grounded.
Yeah, have some fun with the states with this, you know, election year and everything. We'll have some fun with it, yeah.
Oh, you could do like a Hillary Clinton and a Trump, Donald Trump made out of food.
What would Trump be made out of? This is a good question. Chris, what would, if I said to
you right
now? Bologna. Bologna. Yes, Wendy. I love that.
Cheetos.
Cheetos.
That's perfect.
Good. And what would, just so we're doing this, what would you make Hillary out of? Just curious.
That's a tough one.
God, we're all on the spot. There's nothing.
Swiss cheese?
She's got
holes in her game.
That's pretty good.
I would just play with the wordplay and maybe make her out of a pickle and call her Dillery or something like
Dillery.
That.
Dillery. Yeah, that's good,
too. Oh, that's good.
And Bill can kind of play into that in a roundabout
fashion.
You
can make him out of cigars.
Oh, good Lord.
Good Lord. We're going down a bad path right now.
Chris, sorry to tarnish your name, but he's Chris Durso and fooddiggity.com. Check it out. A continued success. Thank you so very much.
Oh, thank you, Wendy and Frank. It was a pleasure, as always.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, we go live to the newsroom right now and Kim Gordon with some breaking news. It's time to take sides, although Bill Leff wouldn't. He likes both teams, but you can watch the Chicago Cubs battle the Chicago White Sox for the Crosstown Cup tonight at 7 on WGN-TV, where Chicago's very own play. I have to mention that I've had bragging rights because the Sox have really taken the first two games beautifully over the Cubs, and last night things changed a little bit, and someone put something on our Facebook page, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. They told me to suck it. Because the Cubs did win.
People are mean to you, Wendy.
I don't care.
Why do they do that to you?
For people that are mean, there are 10 people who are nice.
This is true.
So I just want to congratulate Anthony Rinaldo, who first game pitching with the White Sox last night. He hits a home run.
That's rare.
Well,
it's like
I know.
A unicorn. And a pitcher hits a home run.
And what's even rarer is it was the only run we scored all night, so the Cubs beat us. Was it 8-1 was the final? That is gross.
Yeah. But you know what? It makes it fun, like, for the series, you know?
They're not doing it on purpose. Please tell me they're not.
Well, it's
there's still one more.
It's like boxing. Can you really ever know if anything's set up?
Boxing is not set up.
Come on.
Am I so naive?
Don King? I mean, he's the king of the setup.
I don't know. That's true. That's a good point. We had the announcement that there's been a rain delay at Lollapalooza. The gates were supposed to open at 11.
I don't think these people walking by our studio realize that because there's hordes of young people and lots of young girls wearing half scantily clad shorts walking by.
You know, Ryan Burrow, as Kim mentioned, is going out there to cover Lollapalooza, and he's wearing a plaid shirt and jeans. And I said, you're going to be really hot there.
Your mom mode kicked in.
I said, do you want me to make those cutoffs?
Right.
I really could. You could
what
do
you
that.
What do you say? As long as you put it above the pocket line.
Right.
So, yeah. So his cheeks can hang.
Following items are allowed in Lollapalooza. If you're listening right now on WGNradio.com, maybe waiting to get in, wondering what's going on. And the people we see walking down Michigan Avenue, they weren't waiting in line to get in there right at 11.
No.
So they don't care.
But they're going to be part of this pylon.
Yeah.
It's going to be sitting at the front gate.
These are the following items that are allowed. And right off the bat, this one surprises me. Baby strollers.
It's just wrong. Like, if you're, what are you doing going to Lollapalooza with a baby in a stroller? Like, that just makes no sense to me.
And that's a good place to hide some stuff.
Oh, you could stash a lot in a baby stroller.
just put a Cabbage Patch doll in there and then put right. your vodka inside the doll.
And, you know, I mean, it's been a while since you pushed a stroller around, I'm sure, but there's a lot of hidden pouches these days yep. in those. So, you know.
So that's going to take a ton of time to search that when you're walking in. I went to Pitchfork, and I had brought this up several times on the air. This is the first time that I had to take my wallet out of my purse and open it for them, my makeup bag. They searched everything.
Did they dig in there? Did they get
yeah.
that hit? Really?
Well, they didn't dig in there because they're not really supposed to do that. They kind of yeah. move things aside. And that's when he picked up my wallet and gave it to me and said, please open that. And I'm like,
so
really?
What I don't understand is, and I've been to a couple of these. I haven't been to Lollapalooza in probably since the first year I moved
I've
here.
Never gone.
Yeah, I think
I'm
went,
a poser.
Yeah, me too, for the most part. But, you know, they have these big security gates. They have all these check-ins. But you still get in there, and you still smell weed, and you still see people drinking water, you know, at
yeah,
a certain
spot.
You're like, what's the point? I guess it deters some of it. But anybody who wants to get something in there is going to get it in one way or another.
Well, you can bring a stroller. You can bring backpacks, binoculars, blankets, sheets, and towels, cameras, only non-professional photos and video cameras without attachments, such as selfie sticks, empty Camelback water bottles and hydration packs.
You know what those are, right? Those are the little backpacks that they wear with the little like tube that looks like it's kind of like almost like a hospital feeding tube.
Are they going to test that it's water?
That's my point, is how do you know? I mean, you could put all sorts of clear liquids in there.
If you use anything but water in those, though, you can ruin them, and they're not cheap.
Well, if you, I mean,
and you
I
think
would...
they care.
That's yeah, true, I guess. I guess that's true.
You can bring an umbrella, as Kim mentioned, because it is raining and it's on rain delay there. That's so funny to hear. Handheld only, no bigger than 42 inches when open. So please measure your umbrella before you go in.
So what happens to all the confiscated items?
They sit out there in a pile until they clean it up. Because those big golf umbrellas, they're not going to let those in.
Yeah.
Water, you may bring two unopened bottles of water and refill them once inside. What you can't bring... coolers. Exceptions may be made for medical use if you're bringing your spare liver next to you. Glass or metal containers are not allowed. Outside food and beverage, including alcohol. Aerosol containers, including sunscreen and beauty products. Oh, I can't bring my hairspray.
No, but you know, our texters have a good idea here from the 630. Girls have it easy. If you want to sneak in a flask, just put the tampons on the top layer of your purse. That scares men away immediately.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
No selfie sticks either, so... And don't bring a hammock. That's actually
definitely
on the
Definitely don't bring a hammock, because I walk everywhere with my hammock. I just put it in my pocket.
All right, he's Frank Fontana. I'm Wendy Snyder. Bill Leff is off for the rest of the week, and we're coming back with news, 720 WGN. It's Wendy Snyder here. Thank you so much, Kim Gordon. Keep us posted on when the gates to Lollapalooza open. And Frank Fontana sitting in for Bill Leff today. And
I want to go. Me and you were going after this, Wendy. We're going.
I got a second show to do.
Yeah, I got to shoot a TV show. What am I saying?
Oh, that's right. And we'll talk about
darn.
Your TV
I
show.
Know.
Patrick McDonald is here. Patrick, are you going to Lollapalooza?
No, I'm not. Unfortunately, that ticket price is a little.
How about it?
How much is it for the day?
I just know that the weekend is like $300+,
yes.
right? And it's
darn.
Probably more because there's 4 days this week. Year.
Right, and the daily pass is something like, you know, $125,
yeah.
you know. You know, when you're used to paying, you know, the $5 and $10 from my era.
Oh, I know. I mean, concerts have risen in price. But,
yeah, sure.
you know, think of if you think of your price per band, it's
yes.
not a lot. But
no.
I can't handle all that in one
right.
day anymore.
I'm going to Pierogi Fest. As good as it gets right there for me.
Well, also,
days.
You read all those rules, and I'm like, okay, jeez.
Patrick McDonald is film critic for HollywoodChicago.com. You're the chief guide for the Chicago Film Tour. You can go to ChicagoFilmTour.com.
Very good.
And let's talk Star Trek Beyond.
Yes.
I am married to a Star Wars fan. Jimmy Mack loves Star Wars, but
mm-hmm.
he appreciates the Star Trek franchise.
Yes.
And last Friday he said to all of us, hey, who wants to go see the new Star Trek movie? Crickets. So he went by himself, and I want to hear what you thought about the Star Trek movie, and
well,
then I'll tell you what he said.
You guys, I'm an old Trekker.
Okay.
So, you know, I love the series. I've loved what they've done beyond the series. And I think because Simon Pegg was the screenwriter for this, who also plays Scotty and is a huge Star Trek, you know, a Bible. he basically brought it back to the characters, and that's what I loved about it. I mean, you know, there's always that, you know, special effects craziness in films today, and that's what bothered my husband.
Yeah. was too much flash and not enough on the character development.
Interesting. After seeing the second film, which was all flash and no character, I guess getting the bits and pieces of the characters in this one was enough for me, you know, because the second one, they went completely off the rails, I thought, and completely took it away from the Star Trek legacy. This one, you know, they're in the middle of a five-year mission. They're at the third year of their five-year mission, and which is an homage to the TV show because they only got 3 years out of their five-year mission.
A lot of that was an homage to the original series. Are there more things that you're going to tell us?
Yes. We're going to discuss Easter eggs, and there is a significant one in Star Trek Beyond. But, you know, the crew's kind of getting tired of their mission.
Sick of each other at all?
Yeah, well,
infighting.
It's implied.
Yeah,
it's implied, exactly.
Who's sleeping with who?
Exactly.
It's like Big Brother
they do
out of
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Starship.
It's Big Brother on Starship.
Patrick, is it a...
You've given them a new idea.
Yeah.
Is it something where, as a non-Trekkie, that mm-hmm. I could just jump into from this movie on and be totally caught up and feel like I didn't miss anything?
What I would suggest is that you go back to the first movie of the reboot, which was just
with the new
Star
cast.
Trek, with the new cast. Get familiar with their personalities and then go into that third one.
Got
you
it.
Can skip the second one altogether,
yeah,
in my opinion.
One less movie I got to watch.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, Wendy, can I just interrupt real
yes,
quick?
Yes, Kim
the
Gordon.
The Lala gates are open.
Woo!
Praise the Lord!
And just so you know, these are things you can't bring into Lollapalooza. No weapons or explosives, no fireworks, no large chains or spiked jewelry. You're going to have to leave them at the gate. No chairs of any kind.
No brass knuckles.
No inflatable furniture.
No inflatable
drugs
furniture.
Are on that list.
Yeah, and isn't
what
it?
Was that?
Oh,
have
my.
To tell us
illicit
this.
Drugs.
You
is
cannot.
This WGN?
Yes, it says no illicit, illegal and illicit substances of any kind. Hmm. Duh.
Well, I have a medical condition, Wendy.
Right.
Where's your bracelet? Where's your Medic Alert bracelet?
Peyote make that list?
Thank you, Kim.
That's
the gates
from nature,
are
sir.
Open.
Right.
All right, Patrick McDonald. So where were we now in the Star Trek? They had been on the mission for 3 out of the 5 years.
Yes, and that is the hidden Easter egg that Simon Pegg talked about this week. They figured that they had been on their mission for 966 days. 966 was the premiere of Star Trek 50 years ago.
Wow.
How about
look
that?
How they did that.
That's cute stuff.
That's smart writing.
I also read, and I could be wrong, because I was talking to Frank off the air, I don't really go to movies that much.
Right.
Nor do I.
Bill does
that's
a lot.
Me on.
Right. And was there something with George Takei, or Takei, I don't know how he says it anymore, his character, didn't they try to pay tribute to his...
Yes, he the character of Sulu is shown to have a same-sex partner in the movie.
But that bothered George Takei because Sulu wasn't gay. George Takei is, but not Sulu. So,
Sulu wasn't out, is what you're saying, in the movie.
I don't know.
But it was this kind of gray area, right?
Right. And he presumed, George Takei presumed that Gene Roddenberry would not have that original vision for the Sulu character. But in 1966, I don't think you could have put a gay character in a television show, as far as I know.
Yeah, I mean,
except
it
for Paul Lynn and all his appearances,
he was gay.
Spock was the only alien in this whole thing, right? Was there a couple more aliens that were part of the crew?
Well, you know, now the crew is so diverse; it looks like the cantina scene in Star Wars. There are lizard heads and you know blocks of steel with lips.
Oh, now I want to see it.
I think it's character-based fun. And if you have any familiarity with the characters, I love how Chris Pine's doing Kirk. I mean, he has
does
taken
he
that over.
Does he speak like this, like Shatner did?
And does Shatner make any appearances in these?
No, because Shatner died in the series.
Yeah, but they could do a Superman-ish type of thing where he comes back, like, you know, as a hologram.
Yeah, Vision.
Yeah.
They were discussing that, and they felt it was all too much, you know, gymnastics to do it, although they had Spock in the first one, so.
It would have been great if they had, like, a billboard in space that advertised for Priceline.com. That would have been a little little nice homage to him.
Jeez, Wendy, you're killing it today.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Patrick McDonald is here, and your Chicago film tour is ongoing. It kicks off. It
yes.
kicked off already, and how do people get...
We're not running on Sunday because of Lala, but we are running two tours tomorrow. Good luck on Michigan Avenue, 10:30 and 12:30, and we have room on both. So.
ChicagoFilmTour.com?
Correct.
All right, it's Frank Fontana, and for Bill Leff, I'm Wendy Snyder. We'll continue talking movies with Patrick McDonald next, 720 WGN. It's Frank Fontana in for Bill Leff. I'm Wendy Snyder, and Patrick McDonald, film critic for HollywoodChicago.com and chief guide for the Chicago Film Tour, is in the studio with us. Did we get a little thumbs up or thumbs down or rating on your Star Trek Beyond?
Oh, yes. Definitely thumbs up. 4 out of 5 on that one.
Wow.
But this is, again, it comes through the filter of an old Trekker.
Well, yeah. Everybody watched the original Star Trek
yes.
in some way,
yep.
shape, or form. Maybe
right.
not regularly.
No.
And I actually got into Star Trek The Next Generation. I thought that was pretty good.
Yes. I used to watch it late at night when I'd come home from like a club or something and be on at 2 in the morning in like some kind of like old channel and
yeah.
be flickering in and out. Or maybe that was my brain flickering.
Maybe.
My eyesight.
Patrick McDonald, I follow you on Facebook and your other social media.
Yes.
And I saw and I was excited for you that you got to meet Woody Allen.
That is correct. He comes through to Chicago now for his 3 latest films because his financing comes out of Chicago.
Who knew that, huh?
Right. I did not until that day. And then also, too, he doesn't do press on the East Coast because, you know, I think we're a little friendlier here.
Yeah.
Was he cordial with you?
Very cordial and very open, which is interesting because on the red carpet, you know, you have maybe 3 questions. So I decided to go current movie, career, and perspective or philosophy. And the first question was about the current movie.
Which is what?
Cafe Society, which again, 4 out of 5 on that one. I recommend it, especially if you love Woody Allen. And then the second question, we had just been to New York City, my wife and I, and saw some stand-up in Greenwich Village. So I asked him where he started there. And he lit up. Because he started.
He probably doesn't talk about that. He like, doesn't. No one asks him that.
Well, yeah, because that's a long, long time ago, 50
yeah.
years. And he talked about the Bitter End, the club in the Greenwich Village where he first got real attention and how he started with 5 people and then 50 people. And then I was in the New York Times. So
did he give you more time after that question? Did he
no,
then,
then, then, no, then my third question, it's like a car accident. I know everything. The third question was, you know, I asked him if romantic love was different for him now than it was when he first fell in love. And then I was in a Woody Allen movie because the narration started. And
well, I mean, I know it was terrible when he and Sun Yi started dating
yeah.
His adoptive daughter. But now they've been together, what, 20 years?
Yeah, one of the misconceptions is he never did adopt her. She was just part of Mia Farrow's adoptive family, but Woody himself never adopted her.
Still, he was kind of playing the father. I know, and I'm not even,
yeah.
you know.
Sure.
All I'm saying is at the time, everybody was so against it, but
right.
20 years, it's lasted.
I wonder where that fell in the crazy hot matrix.
Oh, yeah,
Woody.
We talked about that earlier
yeah,
today.
And
I wonder.
Mia.
He's crazy.
He's crazy.
I think he's crazier than she is.
What do you say? What's the answer to that question when you asked him what the romantic difference was?
Or
between
where can
and
we
now?
See it?
Yeah, I mean.
Well, we can see it on HollywoodChicago.com and YouTube. And it was interesting. He said it's all about the thrill. It never changes, but it's all about the thrill. And he, as an aside, said sometimes it doesn't work out. So,
and if you can see Patrick's face when he said that, it was exactly like Woody Allen's face. It's bizarre. You channeled him at that
yeah,
moment.
I did.
Does
I did.
He look much older? Because I got to be honest with you, he looked old several years ago.
Well, he just turned 80.
Good God.
Yeah. He's a little man too, right?
And he's a very small guy.
Frail.
So
in
the frame, I'm up here and he's down. You know, it's just like, but he looks like Woody Allen still, you know,
yeah.
White hair, shock of white hair instead of the shock of red hair, but it's still him. It's still, if you see the picture on my social media, Pat Uber Craig McDonald on Facebook, you'll see it's still him.
Yeah, it did look like him.
Have people forgotten all that? Is he now back to being respected as this amazing storyteller and director?
Every time a new movie comes out, somebody's going to put something down regarding the past stuff. I mean, it was just too salacious not to. And I think there'll be somebody who will never forgive the artist for that indiscretion. And there are other people like myself who merely focus on the artist. So,
yeah, you don't have to love who he is as a person, but you can love their work.
We can talk about Frank Sinatra if you want to talk about what he did in his life. And you still
a lot of people
Sinatra.
Had secrets.
Yes.
And still continue to have secrets, right?
Especially Frank Fontana.
I wrote a book on it called Dirty Little Secrets.
Yes, right. You're right. All right, so new movies, Patrick.
Right,
we have a couple of minutes.
Yes, Jason Bourne. Now, this is the first time I've seen any of the movies in the Bourne series. So I liked it because it was geopolitical, 4 out of 5. Hmm. And the second film I'm really highly recommending, 4.5 out of 5, is Don't Think Twice. Mike Beachley. And Keenan Michael Key.
About the word.
One of the hardest names in show business to pronounce. Keegan Michael Key, Gillian Jacobs from Community, the blonde from Community, play part of a comedy troupe where one of them goes off and becomes famous. So think about one of the big comedy troupes in Chicago, maybe at Second City or somebody residing there, and they have that group that works beautifully on stage. They sell out every time, and suddenly one becomes famous.
Why do you think Bill's off today? He's got a deal.
Exactly.
He's trying to blow out of here and away from me as quick as possible. But that is an interesting concept.
It's a very interesting concept.
And is it based on a true story?
Well, it's based on,
what
I would
is the
name? It's based on a lot of truths.
Berbiglia, Mike Berbiglia's story. You know, he's a one-man stand-up comic, but he works in improv as well. When I interviewed him, he was at the I.O. Here in Chicago because that's where he's most comfortable. And he's just an amazing filmmaker. His first film was Sleepwalk with Me, which was about his habit of sleepwalking as a comedian on the road, which was really fascinating, very much in the Woody Allen genre. And then this one is a lot more sparkly and a lot more interesting, especially about Saturday Night Live and inside show business. So,
is it more documentary style? Or?
No, it's a narrative film.
Narrative.
All the things happen to the characters in association with one of them becoming famous. And they told us you can't say which one becomes famous.
Hmm. Don't Think Twice.
Yes.
That sounds very good.
Yeah, it's a nice play on the Bob Dylan song because, it's a stage instruction about improv. Don't think twice.
Coming out of Chicago, you got so many of these real stories, like the David Schwimmers, you got the Jeremy Pivens, you got the, all of these. Billy Deck. Easy there, right?
I love Billy Deck. He really is a really nice guy, but his name is thrown into everything all the time.
How, though?
Billy Deck.
I like Billy Deck.
You're killing
it
today,
man. Nice guy.
Super nice guy.
He is a great guy. I like him.
Rockets, Bar and Grill.
He makes a good burger.
But we talk famous people, and his name comes up with everything, so I just wanted to throw it in there. I don't know.
That's a different level.
I don't know.
Shouldn't be in the same sentence as a Jeremy Piven.
Check out his Instagram. All right.
All right. Patrick McDonald, if people want to hop on board your Chicago Film Tour.
Yes.
ChicagoFilmTour.com, phone number, whatever you want to do.
312-593-4455. I will be making an appearance at the Tivoli Theater in Dollars Grove, introducing the documentary Wiener.
Oh, what?
And the Abbey
Is this
Hoff,
a home movie?
And Happy screen's
it's a
not
long
big
one,
enough.
Wendy. It's a long
screen
one.
Is not big
oh,
enough.
The screen is not big enough. Did you hear that, Frank? And what else are you doing?
Abbie Hoffman Died for Our Sins, Famous in the Future. My comedy troupe will be performing August 20th. Thank you.
You are busy.
I am a busy, busy, busy man right now.
Thank you so much, Patrick.
Blessings.
And Frank, Patrick. Thank you so much for filling in for Bill Leff. Shall we take a quick break and we can wrap up?
Yeah, this has been fun.
All right, 720 WGN. All right, Lollapalooza is underway. Kim Gordon, thank you for that.
It's all me.
It is.
It's all me.
Anna Laval is back for another day of punishment. Why did you come back?
I'm a glutton for punishment,
evidently.
Wendy.
Are you doing Lala?
Me? Nah. You know, we were trying to figure out yesterday at work, when was the last time I saw a live concert? And I couldn't think of it.
Really?
Isn't it awful?
No, you're at that phase now, and Kim will remember this well, when your kids are little and they need mom.
Right, and I wake up so early for work, and I don't know if this happens to you, Kim, but I just want to sleep and be in silence when they go to sleep.
Well, when my kids were little, absolutely. Yeah. And then, you just have to pick and choose, and you have to set your priorities.
That's the other thing. I don't know if I want to pay a babysitter, which will cost me as much as a ticket to a concert.
Or more.
For a certain concert. So I think I was telling you that my brother's coming in for the Pearl Jam concert from Puerto Rico because he loves Pearl Jam.
Who doesn't?
I know. And I got him tickets to go. And so I was going to send him with my husband. That way we don't pay for babysitting and I can stay home relaxed. Well, they want me to go. There's an extra ticket. And that's when my producer who's going with us was like, when was the last time you guys went to a concert? We couldn't remember.
Well, it's just you go through phases. I'm jealous of Bill. Bill Left, by the way, is out for the rest of the week. He's got two wonderfully behaved 19-year-old daughters. They're twins.
Yeah.
And they are very self-sufficient.
Yeah.
And he's the dad. Because, you know, he's no problems with them. And there aren't. Girls can take care of themselves better. Yeah. My kids are old enough where they should be, 17 and 13 and a half. They should be taking care of themselves. But my husband can't really take care of himself.
I know.
And Kim, your kids are older, so, I mean, you don't have to deal with that anymore. But there was a time where we didn't do anything.
Actually, they understand at work very well, too, because they tell us, can you go MC this? Can you be at this parade? And to be away from the family an entire day, it's really hard if it's something that is not close to your heart.
Right.
And to parades, we can't take our kids because they can't be on the float with us. And, you know, cry me a river, Belleval, I understand. But, you know, sometimes I escape to a parade to stay away from the children.
That's sad, but, in and of itself.
I know, but, you know, don't you remember when you had a newborn baby and you'd be like, we need diapers? Who's going to go to Walgreens? Who is it? Because that was your escape, an escape to Walgreens.
Oh, I know. You had to get away from the house.
Oh. Yeah.
And, you know, the stay-at-home moms have it so much tougher because I'm telling you, the easiest part of my day is right here when I'm at work. And I'm sure you too with your 15 jobs.
I also feel that I can do this well. I don't think I can do motherhood well. I think I'm doing my best.
Right. And that's all that counts.
And I'm very happy where the kids are and how I've figured it out. And I follow my gut. And I have a lot of good friends that support me and my family and so on. But honestly, when I went back from maternity leave the first time, I was like, oh my goodness, I still can do something right. Because you have a baby that depends on you, that cries and you don't know why they're crying, and you feed them and it's not food, and you change them and it's not a diaper that they need changed. So it's for a type A person that waited so long to have kids because she thought she was ready. That was a rude awakening.
First of all, you're never ready.
No.
I just couldn't find a guy who had a car and a job at the same time, so I was late getting married. Because I was 35 when I had my first son, and almost 40 for the second one.
Right.
So whatever. You take what you can. I hate to rehash old stuff, but when Adam LaRoche was bringing his son Drake to the dugout and the White Sox, and Adam who? No one even remembers him anymore. Yeah. But you can't focus if you have a kid with you.
I started bringing my daughter when she was 5 or 6 because she knew how to control herself and she is a great little performer. And I only bring her to things where children are allowed.
Yeah.
Or if I could use her, for lack of a better word, as a model or for video. My son is 3. He is not housebroken yet, you know, and he is going to see me. He's going to see me on the air and he's going to want to be with me. Right. And that is not conducive unless I'm recording something. Unless I'm not live, and it's something that can involve a child. So Alex has not been on TV yet, but Amelia is now. She wants my job. Anytime I'm losing my voice, she's like, am I on?
She's going to crawl over your corpse. You better
be
careful. And another thing, like I'm at a phase now where my 17-year-old son, Michael, he took driver's ed, and he's not really in a hurry to get his license. When I was 16.
No. Oh, I was so ready.
I got it on my birthday.
Me too.
And in fact, to this day, it always expires on my birthday because I got it on my birthday. And so we did driver's ed, and he has one more session left of behind the wheel. And his instructor called me and said, let's do maybe 20 hours before you call me for that last session. And he's not bad. But, you know, a lot of kids are not in a hurry to get their license anymore.
Why?
I don't know.
They must really like you.
No.
Because I wanted independence.
Yeah, but see, now I got my license and I never had a car to drive.
Neither did I, but I borrowed it and that was like a really big deal.
Yeah.
And so I really enjoyed driving and learning. And for us, that was liberty.
It was.
I liked my parents a lot, but I also knew that they weren't going to take me everywhere I wanted to go.
Right.
So, yeah.
See, I still am a little chauffeur service, but it's funny. I found this. There's a new study that confirms that Mario Kart really makes you a better driver. And he's been very good at video games. So can we explore this when we come back?
Sure.
It's Bill Leff on vacation for the rest of the week. Annabelle Laval is in for him, and I'm Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. I have something else I want to tell you. Hey, Cubs fans, collect your next Cubs Fathead sticker this Sunday when you grab a copy of the Chicago Tribune at Jewel Osco. This week's sticker has a special offer from Blue Lizard Sunscreen. It's Wendy Snyder here along with Annabelle Laval sitting in for Bill Leff today. And, all right, someone you know, very special to you, two people are going to the Crosstown Cup. I'm still calling it the Crosstown Classic.
Classic? They call the Cup now?
I said they win a
cup at the end?
I don't know. But right now, you know, the Sox scored their two wins on home turf. The Cubs annihilated the Sox last night, which did not make me happy.
It was like 6-0 or
8-1.
8-1.
Close.
Now you know why they're going by themselves, Wendy.
So who's going to the Crosstown Cup?
My husband, Steve, and my daughter, Amelia. But here's the thing.
Yes.
Steve is a lifelong Cub fan, and my 8-year-old is a White Sox fan.
How did she become the best Belle of all?
We think there's a boy. We don't know.
Oh.
We really don't know. She has grown up in the South Side, if you can call the South Loop the South Side.
Yeah, that's not really.
Not really. And she went to school with... No, we have no idea. She tells us that they wear White Sox and she loves White Sox, and this is not a kid who's athletic or into sports. I don't know, and it's the one thing that she's so self-assured about, not going with her peers, right? So we're moving to the North Side at the end of August, and we told her, you know, we're going to Cubs territory. She's like, I don't care. I'm a Sox fan.
Good for her.
And
you
she won't wear rights. Like Cubs gear.
I don't even like royal blue anymore.
My camera lady, Mary, whose husband works at Wrigley, he sent them two towels. And Amelia's like, well, I'll pretend it's Bears colors. And she won't. I had to give it back to Mary. I'm like, she won't use it. Thank you so much.
Is this Sweary Mary?
Sweary Mary.
I love her.
You're going to love. Have you Googled our Facebook Live? You have to look it up.
No.
It's on my page. Sweary Mary is a discovery.
I saw something as you guys were coming home from
Oshkosh.
No, where are the Bears? Bourbonnais.
Bourbonnais. No, we were there. We didn't.
Oh, okay.
We were sitting there. We had gone to Oshkosh on Tuesday, and we went to Bourbonnais yesterday. Tomasulo had got to go to Bourbonnais today, which is a lot better.
He drew the short stick or straw.
Well, it depends on who you ask.
Yeah, I guess, yes. All right, well, I was talking about taking my son driving, and I don't really know why kids today aren't in a hurry to get their license. I know we live in LaGrange. You can walk everywhere you need to go. I'm okay with that because my mom had this thing where until I had my license, I couldn't go on a date with a guy until I had my license, like where he drove.
Okay.
Little does she know, there were a couple dates that happened. But there's a new study that was published this month in the journal Psychological Science. I don't subscribe to that. Maybe I should. Found that some video games, for instance, Mario Kart from Nintendo, can significantly sharpen visual motor skills. It makes perfect sense,
yeah.
Though. This coordination between incoming visual cues and muscle responses is essential for everyday tasks, including driving.
That makes sense.
For the study, researchers from New York University, Shanghai, and University of Hong Kong had 80 students and faculty from the university participate in several experiments involving different video games. And action-based video games, for example, force the gamer to respond to visual cues. Think driving-centric games, like I mentioned, Mario Kart, or first-person shooter games, like Unreal Tournament, really help with these visual cues and your reaction time.
I don't know much about video games because I'm from the Atari generation. So,
boy, exciting.
And my parents never bought the console because they were going to teach us some kind of lesson. They also never got call waiting because if someone really needs you, they'll call back. But so what's a one-person shooter game?
It's like Call of Duty and stuff where you're seeing it from the eyes of the shooter. You can actually see yourself holding a gun. I know people say that leads to violence, and I'm pretty sure most of the kids that are playing these games know it's a game. I mean, it just depends on the person, but pretty interesting to know. So I'm going to have my son look more into the Mario Kart before I take him on the road for his 20 hours.
Next 20 hours.
We go live to the newsroom right now. Veronica Carter has some breaking news.
Yes, we're getting reports of several explosions at a propane company in Gurnee. It's United Propane in the 3800 block of Clearview Court. There's an evacuation underway for businesses and homes within a quarter mile of the facility. Also, some road closures. We'll have to check with WGN traffic to find out exactly which roads. But again, several explosions reported at United Propane at 3895 Clearview Court in Gurnee.
Wow. That doesn't sound good.
It doesn't, and I hope everyone's okay, but the explosion and propane company kind of go together.
Yeah.
You know, like fireworks and an explosion, you know, that's bad. So we'll keep you posted on that as more develops. Coming up next, we have an interesting campaign that's going on. I don't know if you've participated in it. I have. It's a hashtag share your words. Mm-hmm. And I put a video up on the Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder page, and I'm saying this because you're supposed to come up with a word for the Ounce of Prevention Fund, and that fund is responsible for
early learning.
Yes,
and in underprivileged areas.
Yes, and you know, it's really important. You think about all the things that you did when you have a brand new baby. You talk to them nonstop. You say, "Oh, this is a light. Where are your ears?" Mm-hmm. You say all these words, and then I thought, you know, what else do you always do to a baby? You smile. So that was going to be my word. And I really thought about it. And I said, you know, smiling is contagious. If you're walking down the street and you see some grumpy old person and you smile at them, chances are they're going to smile back. And then they will smile at someone else and pass it along. I thought, that is really profound. And
way to go, Wendy.
Yeah, but that's not the word I used.
What did you do? What did you use?
Well, I started thinking about more words. And then I thought, you know, patience is a great word. And I don't have any of that. But it's nice to be patient.
I thought you were going to go with feisty.
That's what I ended up going with.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I just ruined the storytelling.
But I was trying to be meaningful and have
profound.
These. Yes, I really was.
Inspire the future, the youth.
But that's that one word is not going to inspire anyone. So I thought, you know what? I have a T-shirt that says feisty on it. I am pretty feisty. So that is the word I chose. Have you thought about a word you
Yes. After you told me today, gut.
Why?
Because I follow my gut for everything. Yeah, like your instinct.
But well, then you use do that. Instinct.
Then you do that. But it's a
healthy
gut
trinity.
Thing.
You are
the healthy trinity thing?
Yeah, but
and
that's
I knew
a
you
different
were going to go that way.
That's a that's your inner gut. That's where you know all your bacteria is. You mean like that voice in your head, which
your
I'm sure
instinct.
You have several.
I don't know what you would say that. I have no, and what, and they're bilingual too. They yell at me
awesome.
In different languages. I thought of that because that has been what's moved me forward my entire life.
That's a really important statement, and we're going to find out more about this whole campaign because we have a couple of guests that are going to be coming in the studio, including Diana Rauner, president of the Ounce, and veteran news correspondent from the Today Show, Mike Leonard.
One of my favorite feature reporters ever.
You know, he started a whole new style of reporting news, mm-hmm. and you should work on some things.
I should. Yes. Yeah.
I'm teasing you.
He's an excellent storyteller. He
Absolutely.
Is. He is. And he has. It's really cool. I can't wait to meet him.
And so we'll find out about that. And really, go to Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. You can see my lovely little word. I fizzled out. I wanted to be so profound and meaningful and help people. And then I'm like, you know what? I would get like a little bit into talking about it. I made like 15 videos. And then I finally said, I'm going with feisty. I got a shirt that says it.
I like it.
Thank you very much. All right. Bill Leff's on vacation. Anna Balaval is in for him today. And tomorrow, by the way, Rick Kogan is going to do the first half of the show. And your buddy, Dean Richards.
That's high end.
I know.
That is class.
It is class.
Yes. That is the A team of WGN Radio.
Or the old timers league.
That's not what I'm calling them.
Okay. All right. It's 720 WGN. Thanks, Veronica. It's Wendy Snyder here. Bill Leff is off this week. In his place is the lovely and talented Anna Balaval.
Well done.
Thank you very much. It's very fun to say your name. And joining us in the studio are some pretty important people. I don't know if you two were listening when I was trying to come up with my hashtag share your word. I couldn't decide which one to use, but we're going to find out all about it. Diana Rauner is here, president of Ounce of Prevention Fund. Pretty impressive things. You hold a PhD in developmental psychology from University of Chicago. Chicago, among other things, serves on the board of directors at Lurie Children's Hospital. Welcome to the show, Diana.
Glad to be here. Thank you very much for sharing your words.
Absolutely. My word is feisty, because that's what I am. And I was trying to have a meaningful word, and to be inspired, I watched the Emmy Award-winning NBC TV correspondent and filmmaker Mike Leonard. I watched your video to try and get an idea, and after I saw yours, I'm like, I'm just going with something easy, because I couldn't top that. How are you, Mike?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, first of all, tell us about Ounce of Prevention.
Ounce of Prevention is an organization here in Chicago that works with parents and young children from before birth through age 5 to help all children enter school ready to learn, eager, confident, and excited to be great students and great citizens.
And Mike, how did you get involved with this?
Some friends of mine in Winnetka had told me about it, and I was a young dad. I was 22 or something, or 23 when we had our first child, and we had no money. So I was all we did was play with the kids and talk to them and you know, communicate with them. And I was making little movies about them, and I just saw how they would light up just when you could just communicate in the most basic level. So
little human sponges,
absolutely. So I thought, yeah, this is a wonderful, wonderful situation, and to share it, getting the word out is the most important thing.
So does it work like preschool, Diana, or how does it work?
It's way before preschool.
Okay.
So you know what we know? It's so fun if you not to get too science wonky on you, but if you look at images of babies' brains, even babies as young as 3 months, when you talk to them, the part of their brain that makes words, that will teach them how to talk, starts lighting up and firing. So what we know is that every time you say, you look at a baby and look into a baby's eyes and communicate, you're helping that baby's brain grow in very, very important ways. Way, way before babies make words, they're listening for and looking to be taught how to speak. And the way we do that, so it doesn't take, it doesn't take toys, it doesn't take money, it just takes love, and it takes attention and time. So we just want people to be aware of how important it is to talk and to share words.
It is very important. And Anna, you and I were saying we were a little bit older when we had kids. So the difference between us and you, maybe Mike, and maybe even you, Diana, is they had books that they said you were supposed to read to your womb.
Child, yeah.
while in the womb. So yeah. My husband read so many Dr. Seuss books to my stomach. I don't know if that helped the kids, but I don't know if they can hear.
They can hear. And you know what's really exciting? If you take a newborn baby, literally hours or even minutes old, and dad stands across the room and the baby and talks to the baby will turn his head. They know their parents' voices when they pop out.
That happened to that happened to me with both my kids, but that happened to my brother. My sister-in-law was a C-section, so my brother wasn't in the room. He was taken out. It was an emergency C-section. And when they wheeled the baby out, he said, "Hola, Mariana," and she just looked at him.
Because they've been hearing
she knew.
It exactly. Through the womb,
it
although
gave
muffled.
Everybody chills because
like,
it's the dad. She's not listening to it constantly. He had to make a point to talk to my sister-in-law's belly. So I never shut up, so I never had a problem.
You know what I think?
My
is
kids
really...
never shut up either, so we're all
It's
good.
Really important, I think, even it transcends the words. It's just being noticed.
Yes.
You know, you are here. You live. You're a person, and I'm looking at you, and I'm accepting you. And
the
that
attention,
happens.
Yeah.
And that's in the world. That's with adults as well. Well, if people are forgotten and not connecting to anybody else, they go off into their own little world. And so a young child, from the time the baby is born and gets older, you're looking at that child and talking to the child, and you're saying, you exist, and I know you exist, and we have a connection.
Yeah.
And without connection, I think we're in trouble.
You notice, though, with the babies, we are sweet and are saccharine in our way. Oh, that's a light. Look at the light. And I feel like sometimes we forget, as our kids get older, we should still speak to them, not in baby talk, but in excitable and excitement ways like that.
Absolutely. And of course, the more we talk to them and the more words we share, the more ideas and the more information they get and the more excited they get about what there is to learn in the world. You know, babies and young children are watching us all the time, and they're picking up so much from those thousands of interactions that we have. That's what grounds them in who they are. And that's what they take to school. That's what they take out in the world. They take that knowledge that somebody cares about them. Somebody thinks they're interesting and exciting, and the world is an exciting place.
It is an exciting place, and sometimes scary lately, yes, too, yes. Which you still need to talk to your kids about.
Absolutely. They need the words for that, too.
Too. Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think silliness is important, too, with a child, just to be goofy and to let that child know that you're being as, you know, as basic as can be and laugh a lot and all that, because it is a scary world and there are pressures that we all feel. But in that time, that's the only time you have. So light it up.
Light it up. That's the way to do it. And we were talking to a psychologist, and Diana Rauner, you have your PhD in psychology. And it's okay to talk to kids about the scary things that are going on in the world. It depends on how young they are, how mature they are. And it's really something we need to talk about to keep the conversation going.
Well, we do. And it's also really important. You know, children have all kinds of feelings. They have happy feelings, and then they have sad feelings and angry feelings. And giving children words to explain what they're experiencing is a really important part of helping them self-regulate and be able to take care of themselves as they get older.
Mike Leonard, go ahead.
When I'm reading about the Ounce of Prevention Fund, it says it gives children early childhood experiences. What are those experiences?
So a lot of the work that we do is really helping children have the kinds of great environments that they need to develop well and healthy. So children, you know, it's very easy to have children develop in the right way, right, because they are sponges and they're always changing. Their brains are so active. So really what they need is a lot of responsive interaction, conversations with adults that care about them and are following what they're thinking about and giving them the chance to, again, experience and understand what they're seeing. They need exposure to things that they can play with and they can learn about just in the world. You can do that on a walk. You don't have to buy fancy toys. And it's really that interaction. Now, some children are lucky enough to live in homes where there's a lot of time and attention focused on them. And some children are in families that are under a lot more stress. And so giving all children opportunities to have loving interactions constantly. And then children who are in early childhood programs, most parents are working. And where are their children while they're working? Some children, again, are not in great environments. And we at the Ounce of Prevention Fund are very focused on making sure that every environment that a young child is in the first 5 years of life is a high-quality learning environment, so that children really all have the chance to enter school with a level playing field and with the right opportunities.
And that's where the hashtag share your words comes in. These kids aren't going to be on the internet, on your social media, looking at these words or watching these videos, but just to get the word out there and to go to the Ounce of Prevention website.
That's right. We really want everyone to just understand how important it is for young children to have great experiences and conversations. And so this hashtag share your words is our way of getting people to pay attention to early childhood education, and we hope people will come to the website and the Ounce of Prevention website and learn. So the plan is that you need to come up with a word, and it doesn't have to be, you don't have to overthink it. I was really stressing about the word.
So was
that
for 3 days.
Me too.
I made 15 videos.
I was trying out all sorts of words. And then I decided I wasn't going to think about what the word meant. I was just going to think about the sound.
Right.
So my favorite sounds are puh sounds. So I was thinking about puddle and pumpkin and periwinkle. And then, you know, our dog was called Pumpkin, but our kids called her Plumpkin. So I'm thinking about the P words. And then I asked my husband, what's your favorite word? He said, huh? He said, I like cuh words. So he decided his favorite word was cookie. We haven't gotten him to do his share of the word yet. But
Governor Rauner's favorite word is cookie. You've heard it here.
He's a cookie monster. All you need to do is do a post a video or something with a hashtag, share your words. And it doesn't have to be a fancy word. It doesn't have to be an important word. A funny word is great. And then hopefully you can dare other people to share their word. And I've just now given one dare, but I have a few more in mind. And then hopefully you'll come to the website and check out and learn some more and share with others.
Mm-hmm. I like it when kids have, they own their own words and they're a little wrong, and I don't like to correct them. I remember one of our kids said it was a light bulb. It, well, it kind of looks bald, you know, like the head, and it made sense.
Right.
So when they said light bulb eventually, I went, oh, I liked it better light bald, you know, and that kind of thing.
You should have recorded it.
Right? I probably did.
You probably yeah, did.
My oldest one could never say, what do you want on your pizza? I'll have sausages. So sausages. And the other one, my youngest Dylan, would be afraid of the tomato. And I said the tomato, he meant the tornado. If there was a tornado warning.
This was an eye brown.
Your eyebrow.
Well, our 27-year-old son could never say hamburger when he was little. He used to call it hangover. So we just always have hangovers in our house. Still.
Mike Leonard, I was talking to Anna Balaval, who is on the WGN-TV Morning News. And you pioneered such a broadcasting model where you did your research, you produced, you shot, you wrote, you edited all of your own stories. Mm-hmm. I told her she has to brush up on some of her work.
So it's your fault, the one-man band. Thank you very much, Mike.
I ushered that in. But I did it just for freedom.
Right.
Most of my stories mm-hmm. were on people who had never been on TV before. So I would show up with a little camera. As you know, a bigger camera changes the whole
absolutely.
Situation. And it was just me and make eye contact. But I often say that when I would call people up and say, I'd like to do a story for the Today Show, great. And I would show up and they'd open the door. And it was just me with a backpack, and they were so disappointed.
Yeah. They wanted the crew.
They're looking around, isn't Lauer here? It's like, where's Kirk? Where's the truck? It's like, well, you don't have a truck. You know, I don't have a trailer. I don't have people.
Right.
It's just me. But it worked. It was always an intimate, and they knew I wasn't going to kind of betray their privacy or
their trust.
Or their trust, yeah, because I was one of those people I didn't get into TV till I was 32, and I was a blue collar worker, and we had no money, and so I knew what it was like. And now I have this control and this power, and I could make them. I don't want to make them look too good, because that's even worse sometimes. Yeah. Because then you leave, and the town goes, "Oh, what were you saying to this guy? Were you bragging?" You know, you mm-hmm. just tell the truth, and it's a better situation. So I love the job.
And your cross-country trek with your parents, The Ride of Our Lives.
That was hilarious.
Great work on that.
Thank you.
I do have a question for you, though. You said you were 22 years old when you were a parent for the first time. Which
23,
is
I think.
23.
Yeah.
Pretty young. Is it different than how your parents parented? Because I want to bring this up. If you make a mistake, don't you say to your kids, oh, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Would your parents have ever said that?
Well, they were always wrong.
But did they admit
yeah,
it?
Oh, yeah. They were pretty funny. That I think what helped me is that they're Jersey people. My mom was a Jersey girl. They're funny. They're out there. They're very different. My dad believed everybody was a great guy. My mom was looking for their gun, you know, and so frisking them. But it was – they would go at each other, and then at the end of the night, they never went to bed mad. Oh. But it was – we were out there. We were never really an intellectual family. I didn't get good grades. I wasn't punished for that. And I think it was I know it was an accepting family. So to answer your question, I don't remember – I think my dad would have said that, and my mom would have. I don't remember a situation when I was thought to be – I had to be perfect.
That's a great family.
Wow. It was great.
Accepting and should be your second word, because you've already done the hashtag share your words.
I think, yeah, and I try to do the same thing, because knowing that we're all flawed, right? Mm-hmm. One of the words that I love is when I was in Nova Scotia once doing a story, they have a toast in bars and they go, giver. And it's about giving, you know, giver. And they raise their glasses. And I remember I did a story with Glenn Hansard, who was a musician, is a musician. He did the movie Once. He's great. And he was saying, when you get something, the best thing to do is to give it away. You know, just pass it along.
That's beautiful.
So the give part, I don't want to sound sappy, but just give. And that's what this is about as well. Just give people a chance. Give a child a chance. Give somebody a word. Pass it along. And that's the spirit in which this is. I'm not I'm not a spokesperson for the cause, but I'm an advocate for it, mm-hmm. because I love my job, and I love going around. And I gave those people a chance to have their viewpoints out there. You know, I'd go to a Mexican neighborhood, a black neighborhood, a poor white neighborhood. Never political, just a story about life. And I know that we're better off knowing that, making those connections.
I think those are the best people to interview.
They're the best. You know, there's people, nothing to hide.
You always talk to, especially interns who want to do the entertainment beat, and I run out of questions for actors and celebrities. Oh my God, I'm done. But with regular people,
real
there
people.
Are so many layers to them. And they are, you know, when you get their trust and you just listen, you'll they're life lessons.
They are. I'd laugh because living in Winnetka, and it's funny because I could, and it's a great place. I love it. The people are terrific. But my whole thing is I'll go and I'll meet somebody, and it might be at a party, and I go, where are you from? And the guy will go, Cleveland. I said, oh, the city? No, suburbs. Which one? And they'll go, they'll tell me. And I said, where'd you go to high school? And they start looking at me thinking, what are you after? And how big was your family? And they go, I got to get a drink. And they run from me. I'm just trying to get to know you.
Right.
But people are closed up sometimes.
We have to open up a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not looking for any dirt. I just want to find out how your life was.
Right.
That's right. Awesome.
We can all learn from each other.
Well, thank you so much for being part of this, Mike Leonard. It's an honor to meet you. And Diana Rauner, keep up the good work with the Ounce of Prevention Fund. And really, just anyone who's listening, go to any of your social media. Just don't overthink it like I did, like Diana did. Just come up with a word, maybe a goofy word, and just hashtag it, share your words. Good luck on this campaign. Nice to meet you both.
Nice
thank
meeting
you for being here.
And we will take a quick break, and we'll check in with Ryan Burrow, who is live at Lollapalooza. The excitement continues.
That's
here.
That's a word.
That is a good
That's
word.
That's a perfect word.
Hashtag that. All right, 720 WGN.
Wendy, my mom and dad just texted me. They're listening and watching.
Hi, Balabals.
In San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Oh,
the interweb
cool.
is amazing.
He sure is.
My father speaks like a business English, so everything is like the communication between the simplification of the juxtaposition. You're like, what are you saying? What are you saying? I don't understand what you're saying. Oh, we got to go to the bank. Oh. So
we got to go to the bank. All right, we have to check in with Ryan Burrow, who is live right now at Lollapalooza.
Lollapaloozing.
Ryan, we got the word that there was a rain delay. They did not open the gates at 11, but soon thereafter they opened. Are you having fun yet?
Oh, yeah, I've already cut off my jeans so that they're nice and high. I'll get a nice tan. I found an old Tony Kukoc jersey.
Oh, really?
Yeah, maybe get some cool sunglasses. Let's make this happen, guys. Four days.
Go all the way or go home.
It is four days, and what's out there that you've laughed at thus far?
It's funny. So far, we're looking at the weather. Sounds like we've got some more storms coming in this way. Now, I can tell you that actually evacuated twice over the last 4 years, Lollapalooza. Yeah. They've sent people down into garages downstairs, also into some nearby buildings. They are prepared to do that again if need be. But, you know, as of now, things are steady and going, and some of the bands have already started. Probably won't know too many of these bands that kind of start off, especially on this first day. The big names are going to be Radiohead, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Those are the ones that are going to be going on later. Not too crowded yet, but keep in mind, this is the first time they've done it as a four-day festival, not just a three-day festival.
Right.
And my question to you is, I know they evacuated, I think last year, was that last
or
year
or
2 years
ago.
Where they did go into the underground parking tunnels and stuff. They're not just going to evacuate for rain, right? It has to be like a thunderstorm or something substantial.
No, not rain, but I can tell you part of the delay that we saw earlier today was, it was about 30 minutes before they opened the gates. There was a light sprinkle. It lasted for maybe 5 minutes, and then it was over. And eventually they let us in. But, you know, the interesting thing about the rain coming today is today's day one. You get this ground wet. Oh, boy.
Oh,
yeah. It's going to be muddy all weekend long.
It's going to be like Woodstock.
White shoes. Do not bring your sandals. You may lose them and not be able to recover them until
you are such a guy. You are such a guy. You know that most of the girls that are going to Lollapalooza are going to be in cute sandals. You know that.
And I've also had to walk back to the train station with that girl who lost her sandals.
Yeah.
So that's not fun.
All right. Well, good point.
A lot of broken glass and metal all over
it's
the place.
It's true. It's true. You're right.
Well, we have reports that Dean Richards is there wearing a flannel shirt. So if you spot him, will you please say hello?
And a flower crown.
Did he cut off the sleeves?
I don't know.
How hot is it?
We're
going
to make this happen. We're going to have to make this happen.
I need a selfie with Dean, Ryan, with duck lips.
What are duck lips?
Snapchat. You know.
Oh, making kiss face?
Yes. Those are cut duck lips.
And where you're from, maybe.
No!
All right.
We'll snap Insta, face everything. Mm-hmm. Twitter, you got it. It's all coming your way.
Thank you so much. It's Ryan Burrow. He is enjoying himself. Well, he's reporting from Lollapalooza. Quick break. News coming next, 720 WGN. Thank you, Veronica. Anna Balaval. I almost did it. Anna Balaval, Wendy Snyder, Bill Lefoff for the rest of the week. Veronica, I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
You were talking about a story with Boeing in the news, and you said Aerosmith, and that's what caught my attention, but it's not the band.
No, let me look. I'm reading through the story again. Da, 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 da.
Is that an occupation? Am I the only one who does not know this? I thought I heard Aerosmith.
Aerospace giant Boeing.
Oh, it sounded like Aerosmith.
We both were like rocking on.
Well, you know, Lollapalooza is here. Maybe that's on my brain. Maybe I said Aerosmith.
I think because you did. I'm listening and I said, well, maybe that's like an airplane maker, airplane builder.
We've been looking it up.
It could just be because seriously, my son and I have been going back and forth all day about whether I'm going to Lollapalooza or not.
Are you?
Well, Veronica.
I'm not, because he had a friend who said he wanted to go. And mm-hmm. so I bought them tickets. And the friend was like, I don't know if we're going to go. I'm going to go. So I said, I'll be your backup. Because I love music, but I do not love the Lollapalooza crowds.
I've decided I don't like any crowds.
No,
that's
not a
my
big,
problem.
Big people person. You
know? And we all work in broadcasting.
I know, but that's what's weird about it, because like when we do live remotes, I love when listeners are there. I like an organized chaos.
Yeah.
I don't like, I went to Pitchfork with my son and we saw Brian Wilson. Then Michael decided he wanted a Brian Wilson t-shirt. We walked across the park. They were just boxing up their t-shirts. So then I said, oh, here's a shortcut. We'll just go through the Sufjan Stevens fan base, the crowd watching Sufjan Stevens, and we'll get to the exit. Mm-hmm. That was the dumbest mistake ever. Walking through a crowd of people, you cannot look down because there are coolers and blankets and people laying down. So you just have to focus. It's like you're looking at a light at the end of the tunnel and you're just trying to get to it. And then when I get there, I turn around to say something to Michael, nowhere to be found. I look at my phone, 3 missed calls. I call him, what's up? Mom, I ran into friends. Can't you turn around? I said, not when you're going through a sea of people.
No.
I just don't like
one
friends.
Of the things about Lollapalooza, too, is since they're kids, I went to see Paul McCartney there last year. They weren't there to see the music. They were there
for the
to
experience.
Yeah, hang out with each other, see each other, you know, party. They weren't watching. And so it was kind of annoying.
It's disruptive, right?
People?
Yeah, young
you
man,
know,
sit
Sir
down.
Paul is on stage right now.
Just sit down and shut up.
I don't know who raised you, but this is music royalty.
Lala, I feel bad. I have never gone to, and there are just too many people. And it's typically really hot. I need air conditioning.
That happens to me with Around Town. I have the luxury of showing up places and watching the best parts of the musical, the best parts of, you know, the aquarium, empty museums. So I am spoiled. So when I take my own children on a Saturday, it's overwhelming. I'm like, what are we doing here? Who are all these people? And it's on my own fault for telling them to go, right?
Yeah.
But, and then people always ask me, are you coming back to see the show? And I always tell them, but I saw the 7 best parts of the show.
Well, we also have such a stimulating job that we really don't crave the excitement.
Yeah.
You know, if we sat in an office in a cubicle for 8 hours a day, we'd probably want to go do stuff like
this.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just some things you need to know. Lollapalooza is going to screw up your weekend.
It already has screwed up mine.
How?
Traffic. I told you, coming from the South Loop, I took the train in today.
Okay.
Because it's nuts. They have closed. You're looking at me like, why are you so upset on
that? I thought that
this
was yesterday.
This is a city dweller. This is the entire, they started closing things up last week.
Oh, yeah.
And so yesterday or the day before, they did Columbus. So it takes you 45 minutes from downtown to the South Loop.
Yeah.
And so it is, Clark Street is good, but everyone's going to head to Clark Street. We canceled plans this weekend and we're hunkering down south of Roosevelt Avenue.
That would be the best way to do it. They close Columbus so early, though, for Blues Fest, for all the Fest Taste of Chicago. It's like a week in advance.
That's the only downside of living in that area.
We are privileged, aren't we? We have great jobs where we don't want to go see people and bands. It's just, more importantly, the heat to me. And no drinking on the Metro, just so you know. Hordes of teenagers expected to take the train from the suburbs. Have they added more Metro trains?
I don't know.
If they haven't, they will.
Today
is the first day of Lala. Typically only 3 days, but a 4-day weekend this year in honor of its 25th anniversary. You're going to have bad cell phone reception. Although when Ryan called in, it was not too bad.
No. But it's Thursday, and he said there weren't a lot of people.
I want to know how many people will be playing Pokemon Go at Lollapalooza.
I have to show you a picture a friend of mine posted, I showed Kevin, of people in Puerto Rico playing Pokemon and how crowded Old San Juan is. My friend is there on vacation. She took a picture. It looks like a festival, and they're all chasing Pokemons.
Is it typically empty?
No, it's not empty, but it's not that crowd. That looks like a weekend, like a Lollapalooza crowd. It's insane.
Pokepalooza.
Pokepalooza.
Kevin, are you going to be hunting for Pokemon monsters when you're...
When I'm not working, yes.
Oh, you're working Lollapalooza?
Well, yeah.
That's how he got in.
I'm working and...
Media pass.
When I'm not working the Lolla, I'll be working the Pokemon.
Okay, but you're not working. You're going for work. There's a different thing there. You're taking it all in so you can report on it on your podcast,
right? Not just that, though. We'll be doing interviews and stuff, too. Yeah, we're working.
All right, but
that's
fun.
He's a working member of the media, Wendy. Don't ruin his credential, because that's how he got it.
But working Lollapalooza, to me, means like going through people's purses, strip searching them. That's working.
Oh.
You're
going
to enjoy yourself.
I'm still working. Well, if I wasn't working, I wouldn't be going.
He's opening for Lana Del Rey.
Yeah, I'm her vocal coach.
Oh, no. You don't
tell her to spark it up a little bit, will you?
Spark up, girl.
A more congested CTA is going to be going on. And as Anna Balaval mentioned, tons of street closures.
Just whining about.
Surge in pricing. How about this? I didn't realize this, how Lollapalooza is going to screw up your weekend. Mm-hmm. Uber, Lyft, and other ride-hailing services are often cheaper than traditional cabs, except that's price gouging.
Yeah.
Anthony Ponce is going to be
he's
going to
make more money
than
on NBC this weekend.
It'll be a while before the Lolla bands return. What? Lollapalooza's radius clause prohibits acts from performing within a 300-mile radius of Chicago for 3 months after the shows this weekend. Did you know that? I did not know that.
Yeah, that's not too uncommon, actually.
Oh, well, you would know that because of your podcast Sound Sessions.
Well.
Someone texted, "Be thankful Chicago did not win the 2016 Olympics." Could you imagine?
I'm very thankful.
That would have been back to back to back. Lolla and then the Olympics. Nuts.
And beware of scalpers. Ticket scalpers chasing the American dream will be peddling all weekend long.
Yeah, and on Facebook, too. I have plenty of friends trying to get rid of passes.
Really? What, yeah.
They bought them thinking they could resell them and... Now people are not interested.
Here's an idea. Buy something you're going to use. Don't buy something you think you can sell for more money.
I'm not that person. I can't do that. Mm-mm.
I wonder if George Lucas is going to be at Lollapalooza. He can't have his museum there with Melody Hobson, his wife. I wonder if he's going to go to Lolla.
I don't know if he strikes me like a Lolla goer, but you never know.
I think so.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know, he wanted to check out the lakefront because he wasn't able to build the museum there. And someone texted and wanted to know why the Obama Library can be built in Jackson Park.
Right.
And George Lucas couldn't build the Museum of Narrative Art. But the whole difference is because one was blocking the view of the lakefront, the other one isn't.
No, my understanding is, and I kind of can picture it, Jackson Park is possibly west of MSI, Museum of Science and Industry. Museum of Science and Industry is not lakefront either.
Right.
You can cross the very busy Lakeshore Drive and make it to the lake. I think it's a very attractive location.
I think it's
yeah,
nice, too.
It's going to be beautiful.
All right. It's Anna Balaval. It's Wendy Snyder. And we may be talking to Mr. Pierogi. We may not.
Someone asked, where's Pierogi Man?
Can I just tell you something right now? Kevin, has Mr. Pierogi arrived yet? Is he in the house?
Possibly.
Because, like, on a Lollapalooza weekend...
Poor guy.
Mr. Pierogi should be thankful he's getting some airtime.
Oh, no, I meant poor guy that you're making him come
traffic.
From Whiting to
yeah,
here.
Yeah, that's true. And traffic, everything's closed.
Listen, Pierogi Festival is very big in Indiana, especially in the Whiting area. Don't knock it till you pierogi it.
I've pierogied it,
you
and I love it.
I went for the station, and it was a lot of fun.
I went for a station, too. Not this one, but I really had a great time, enough so that I'd want to go back. And the village people are going to be there.
Get out.
Do you not listen to this station?
I do, but not today, because I was on the train.
All right.
I should have podcasted. I'm sorry.
You should have. All right. You can always go to WGNradio.com to catch the magic of Wendy Snyder and Anna Balaval.
Wasn't that a good segue? I gave it to you right there.
You did.
Right
it's there. Like Pippin to Jordan. Thank you so much. 720 WGN. And Wrigley Field tonight is the exact opposite location. Oh, there's a guy with a big white hat, and I bet I can guess that's Mr. Pierogi.
Mr. Pierogi is in the house.
Hi, everybody.
How are you, Mr. Pierogi?
I'm wonderful.
Welcome
How are you guys?
Welcome to Chicago.
Thank you. I forgot that you guys have a food festival going on, too.
Well, you mean Lollapalooza?
Oh, is that what it is? Is Lala?
It yes. kicked off early because it's the 25th anniversary, so now it's 4 days instead of three. Did you have a little trouble with traffic?
Just a little bit.
Crossing the border?
Crossing the border.
It was hard.
It is. Yeah, I've got my pierogi passport, and they don't always honor it from state to state, so... But thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
So this is exciting. When does it start? When does the pierogi festival start?
Tomorrow, 10 a.m.
Awesome.
Through Sunday at about 5. So tons of food.
I have to laugh, though. Somebody is outside the showcase, the Allstate Showcase studio right now, taking a picture of Mr. Pierogi, thinking, oh, my God, this is one of the acts from Lollapalooza. I don't think so. I want to know if Mr. Pierogi just laid on his side and rolled himself the whole way here.
I kind of did. I've been packing on the pounds. So I love coming on your show. You guys are so much fun.
Thank you. Bill is on vacation. He told me to say he's very sorry he missed you again this year.
As long as you're here, I don't really care about Bill.
Look at
there
that.
We go.
Look
that
at that.
That was nice. Uh-huh.
So
well played.
When did this Pierogi Fest start? Because it really is a blast.
It is a blast. So the Whiting Pierogi Fest started about 23 years ago. And originally, it was just a standard street fest. It was started by the Whiting Chamber of Commerce. So it was just an opportunity to come out and kind of celebrate the town. If you've never been to Whiting, it's Eastern European. It's Czechoslovakian, Slovak, Polish, Lithuanian.
And way closer than you think.
Way closer. If you've been to Horseshoe Casino, we are literally 3 minutes the other side of it. So right across the border, super easy to get to. And 19 years ago, I was born, and they asked me to...
Wait, you're not 19.
I'm 19.
Yes. Oh, Mr. Pierogi. I'm sorry. Pierogi. Do you want to say your real name?
No, there is no real name. It's Mr. Pierogi.
I meant Mr. Pierogi.
That's it, Wendy.
Pete Pierogi.
Pete Pierogi.
Santa would be very upset at you.
So the fest really kicked off about 19 years ago because my wife left me. She left me for Mr. Kielbasa for...
I can see why.
Isn't that a sausage?
It is
a
sausage.
That's why I can see why.
That's why, that's why people say that she left me.
Aren't you stuffed with sausage?
No.
Whoa.
No, there's no sausage in you.
Cheesy.
No.
I am incredibly cheesy.
I am so
Yeah, if we hang out for a little while, you'll see.
It's like mashed potato and
That's
cheddar
right.
wrapped up in a bundle
a
of love.
It's a carb lover's delight is
it
what
is.
It is. Yes. So when she left me for Mr. Kielbasa, the town saw that I was in this deep depression, so they threw me a party. And it became Pierogi Fest. We kind of started burning her in effigy, and we found out the little guys were actually pretty tasty. So we
I love this made-up story. This is the greatest thing ever.
It's a fun story,
it really
isn't it?
Is.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's how I came into being. Yeah, 19 years ago.
You're the original Mr. Pierogi?
The original Mr. Pierogi.
I saw you years ago. You are never going to give up this gig, are you?
You know, as long as the town will have me, I'm going to keep doing it. I wouldn't trade this for anything. I mean,
so what are your duties? What are your duties this weekend?
First of all, you said duty.
Duty.
It's kind of a mixture of everything. I'm the grand MC of the event. So most of the time I will be out front at 119th Street and Indianapolis greeting people as they come in. There's a lot of press junkets that we have now. Fox News comes out tomorrow morning, and then Steve Baskerville from Channel 2 comes out tomorrow night.
No representation from WGN TV.
We don't have enough crew. We do not have enough
You guys
crew.
Have been out before, though, have you
yes,
not?
Yes, I have.
Yes.
And Wendy has for some other station that shall remain nameless.
That shall remain nameless. But I remember you were out front like with a big stock car or something like that, Wendy. Were you not?
I don't remember.
No? We came about 5-6 years ago.
Yeah. Anna Balavala, of course, from WGN
Around
TV
town.
Morning
mm-hmm.
News, the TV end of things.
Right.
See, apparently I'm not attractive enough to get on TV. You guys love to have me on radio, but TV just doesn't work for me, which, you would think with the
you
suit.
You would think. You're dressed for WGN Morning News.
Uh-huh, thank you.
You are.
Thank you. And people will ask me, like, are you going to go do the radio interview in the Mr. Pierogi outfit? I'm like, you have to? I mean, it's otherwise...
You don't have anything else
right,
but this.
Yes. This, I mean, you need a showcase.
I'm sure you're just in a white t-shirt and tidy whities under that. I would prefer that you keep that on, if that's all right.
Yeah, it's a family-friendly program for the most part.
Next year's going to be the 20th anniversary. Anna, you should have Mr. Pierogi on TV.
Right?
That's it.
And for my 21st birthday, I'm hoping that there's a brewery around us that will create a beer for me so I can celebrate in style on my 21st.
You have this all figured out, Tony.
Got to work the angles if you can.
Ride this out to retirement.
So, so what else do I do throughout the weekend? There's a Mr. Pierogi Song Fest Saturday at noon. And I've got four or five singers that come out, and we basically rewrite song lyrics to be about food and the festival and things like that. Kind of Weird Al style. And then Mr. Pierogi has a band called Mr. Pierogi and the Doughboys. So they're playing at the beer garden at 2 o'clock.
What's that set list like?
It's a bunch of 80s and 90s party rock. You know, nice. If you're going to come out and have fun in the beer garden, we want you to be up and dancing and having a good time. And then I've also got Miss Punchki, who is
I've met her,
donut.
Too.
She's wonderful.
I love a Punchki.
We've got Halupki guy, which is the stuffed sauce or the stuffed cabbage.
What is that called?
Halupki. Or called Gwumpki, depending on nationality. Pardon?
Does he smell?
Horribly, cabbage. Especially by the end of the weekend.
Yeah.
We have our bouchas. The bouchas are wonderful. There are 7 or 8 younger women in town that dress up like our grandmothers in the house coats and the babushkas and the knee-high sask. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then I've got my pierogettes, and they are kind of my little entourage. So I've got Miss Cheese and
Your
Miss
posse.
Beef. My posse. Yes, yeah, so they follow me around.
Posse.
Yeah. You can't hang out without a posse.
Can I tell you something? I have never met a person who loves his job more than you. I am not kidding you.
Shush.
Mr. Pierogi is all smiles. He can't wait to invite people to his town of Whiting, Indiana. And honest to God, all he enjoys his job
people
so
much. People are stopping by and taking pictures.
But he can't
of Mr.
get on
Pierogi.
TV. We got to change that for him.
I know. I got a guy.
So speaking of people taking pictures, I have to tell the story because to me it's the cutest thing. My alter ego has a wife, and his wife's grandmother loves pierogi. And she found out that this year, her nursing home, they're taking a field trip to Pierogi Fest, and she is just so beyond excited about it. She's the proudest grandma in the whole wide world. She's just telling everybody, we're going to meet my grandson, Mr. Pierogi, this weekend, and it's going to be wonderful.
Isn't that
the sweetest thing in the world? And to me, that's what I really love about Pierogi Festival is it is a food festival, but I have met people from Poland, from Australia, from Alaska, from around the world that scheduled their family vacations around this festival. And a lot of them were raised Polish, so they want to kind of come back and celebrate that. And what I think is great about it is that it's an opportunity to celebrate our heritage. You know, with so much disconnect and so much bad stuff happening in the news, it's nice just to have 3 days where you can come together, celebrate your unity, celebrate your heritage, celebrate where you came from, and just really enjoy yourself. And that's what I absolutely love.
And you know what? I have a lot of Latino friends that live in Whiting, Indiana, and mm-hmm. love the Pierogi
yes.
Festival. I have my friend Veronica from South Chicago texting me, are you going tomorrow for the show? I mean, the Mexicans in Whiting, Indiana support this festival.
Oh, absolutely. And what's wonderful is that...
It's great to be cross-cultural, too, not only for Polish people to celebrate their culture, mm-hmm. but also for other cultures to discover.
Very much so. And, you know, the cool thing about a pierogi is that every culture has one.
Right, a version of it.
Yeah, so the Japanese have...
pot sticker.
It's the pot mm-hmm. sticker, yes. You know, the ravioli is pretty
Italian.
Much, you know, the chimichanga is a pierogi. Every culture has that. And, you know, where it started from was... You know, in the old country, you kind of took your leftovers. And when you weren't sure what else to do with them, you rolled them in dough and you recooked them and you made them. So every culture has that little section of it that you can kind of celebrate that with. So it doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. You can come out and you can really kind of get behind it. And the cool thing about that festival is, you know, it's down our
main
street.
Can you hold your thought? We're going to take a break.
Oh, absolutely.
And we'll finish up after the news.
Sure.
Mr. Pierogi running a little late because of the Lollapalooza traffic. We're going to do some news, talk to him, and find out who the special musical guest is at Pierogi
Fest. Oh,
you're going to love this. Stay tuned. It's Mr. Pierogi, Anna Balaval, Wendy Snyder. That was a dream of mine once, the three of us. Never mind. 720 WGN. Thank you, Veronica. It's Wendy Snyder here along with Anna Balaval. She's sitting in for Bill Left today, and Bill's going to be very sorry he missed Mr. Pierogi because Pierogi Fest is kicking off. The parade kicks everything off at 7 p.m. on Friday.
7 p.m. tomorrow night. Friday night.
Oh, God, that's tomorrow already.
It is tomorrow, yeah. Yes.
All right. Correct me if I'm wrong, third largest festival in Indiana?
It's the first.
All right.
You know, we're claiming it.
How about this one? Almost 100 food vendors?
Almost, yes. Almost.
What's the half?
This is so funny.
What's the half?
Yeah, like
there's just a
almost.
Vendor that just sells nothing but water.
Oh.
Because you have to hydrate. So we can't really count that.
We can't count them as
But
food.
Did you guys know that we have more vendors at Pierogi Fest than you guys have at Taste of Chicago?
I can believe that.
It's huge. 300,000 people come to that festival every weekend. Not every weekend, every year.
Every year.
Not every weekend.
No.
Somebody just texted. We have a lot of questions and comments that were texted in for Mr. Pierogi. Is Pierogi Festival always the last weekend of July?
It's always the last full weekend of July. So if Sunday falls on August 1st, it's the weekend prior. So it's always the last full weekend in July.
Good to know. What else? This guy puts the white in Whiting. Because your outfit.
Okay.
Or costume.
Costume, mm-hmm. Yes.
Bill says outfit, believe it or not.
Instead of yes. Costume.
Why didn't Mr. Pierogi take the Babushka ladies to the studio? They are eye candy for the men that go to this fest.
Right, aren't they?
Really?
They are.
Know, I'm not a guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, if you have an octogenarian fetish, this is your festival.
I see him.
I think you should put that on a t-shirt.
Patent pending.
This is your slogan.
I see him every year, and he's awesome. Keep up the good work, yeah. Mr.
Oh,
pierogi.
Well, thank you, random radio stranger.
Kraut and mushroom is best pierogi.
You know what? Kraut is good, but if you're going to be making out with somebody after, I would avoid it.
Yeah. And I think that's it. But we have a big announcement of who's going to be performing on Saturday night. Lollapalooza. What? What do you have at?
We have the Village People.
What?
7 p.m. at Oilman Stadium. It's going to be awesome.
It will.
It's
the
gonna
original?
Be so cool. The original.
There
Village
are some
People.
Original members of it.
Yeah, I mean,
I think
it's
some
I think
have
it
died.
Might, yeah, it's there are some originals in there. I'm not sure what the ratio is
right.
of original to non-original, but they're still going to be doing all of your hits, and that's why you're there. Is the costumes, the performance,
they're
the
not
songs.
Sure if you're the Pillsbury Doughboy. I'm just going to say that. Those tourists that went by were like, yeah. "Is that the Pillsbury Doughboy?"
You need to join the Village People on stage.
Yes.
They're all in.
You know what? I haven't gotten an official invitation yet, but I'm going to be just rubbing some serious elbows this entire weekend to see if I can,
I
get
so.
Up there. I can, even though I've got the hat on, I can still do the motions of
no,
the
no,
YMCA.
No. You know what you do? You go P-I-E-R-O-G-I.
It's funny that you mentioned that because at the Mr. Pierogi Song Fest, we are doing Pierogi Fest, which was, they covered YMCA. They actually took our song Pierogi Fest and changed it to YMCA. So if you want to hear the original, noon, Saturday, Mr. Pierogi Songfest.
And if we want to find out information or get tickets or just know the schedule, we go to
pierogifest.net. And we also have an app this year, which you can download on Android and iPhone. So just look Pierogi Fest up, and all of the information will be right there at thumb's touch.
And the vendors and things you can
vendors,
find.
The
like
music.
The
yeah, everything. It's all there.
We love you. We are big fans.
I'm huge fans of your guys. Thank you again so much.
20th anniversary. Let's see if I can get back to
yeah, if you guys
whiting.
Could come out, that would be wonderful. At least for my 21st, because we're going to have a party that year.
Jello shots.
Jello shots. Pierogi shots.
Yeah, that would not be good.
No.
No.
All right, but nice idea.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Mr. Pierogi. Go to pierogifest.net.
.net.
Pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Nice
or
to meet
see you.
You
again, I guess. We have this ongoing yearly relationship where we see each
which
other.
I love.
Here. I love it too. Awesome. All right, quick break, and then we're going to get into real news. Not that this isn't, but we are going to talk about the DNC and Madam President-to-be, perhaps, will be speaking. And I had a question. It didn't seem like there were a bunch of protesters at the Democratic National Convention, but at the RNC, quite a few protesters. We're going to talk to Alex Stone next and find out if anyone's going to be protesting Hillary Clinton's
today.
Speech.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 720 WGN. All right, Anna Balaval.
Yes, ma'am.
It's the last night of the Democratic National Convention
right.
out in Philadelphia. And I was just wondering, there wasn't a lot of protesting going on at this one. There was at the RNC. Alex Stone, ABC News correspondent on the line with us live from Philadelphia right now. Will we see protesters?
Well, we have seen some. They've been out every night and they've been ramping up. And, you know, the number of different protests may be about the same as what we saw in Cleveland, but the number of protesters, we've actually seen a lot more here than what we saw in Cleveland. But
really? Because we're not seeing it on TV as
much. Yeah, it's not the anarchist crowd. It was last night, but the other nights, it wasn't the anarchist crowd that we saw in Cleveland. Also, a lot of it's about the buildup of the whole thing, that going into this, everybody was expecting Cleveland to be just mayhem, mm-hmm. and not a whole lot happened there when it came to protests getting out of control. There have been, when the numbers come in, likely there are going to be more arrests here than what we saw in Cleveland. One thing we didn't see in Cleveland that we're seeing here is fence jumpers, that they are climbing these anti-scale fences that the federal government has set up, these big 8-foot-high metal fences. They're using ladders and different things to get over to jump into the secure area. They want to make their point, but the second they jump into the secure area, there are Secret Service waiting for them, and they arrest them, and then they're charged with federal charges. It's a pretty serious crime because this is a federal zone in here. So They're probably going to protest again tonight. The thing, though, is it is pouring rain here, severe thunderstorms moving through. They may not want to come out in this, so maybe that will dampen things down.
Did you say they had ladders? What do they pull up in their Gran Torino with the open back and pull out a ladder and go over the fence?
Someone holding the bottom of the ladder?
I was asking a federal agent today. I was saying, how are they getting in? Because these fences are made so the holes aren't big enough for your fingers. There's nothing to step on. And he said it's a bunch of things. He said they bring ladders. They hoist people over. I mean, if you catapult somebody over, they're going to kill themselves when they hit the other end. But he says that they drive up pickup trucks, and then they stand on top and then jump over. They're finding different ways, but they're trying to make their point. Nothing has been out of control yet. Mm-hmm. Last night there was some pushing and shoving, but the numbers of actual protesters, and they're mainly Bernie Sanders supporters.
I was going to ask you. Yeah, it's probably Bernie Sanders supporters.
Yeah, for the most part, and that's also going to be the issue on the floor tonight. I was talking to a California delegate who said she plans, and all the Bernie Sanders supporters, that they were quiet last night, but that tonight is their big night and that they're going to make their voices heard and that they plan on making a scene tonight. We don't know what that means. I said, are you willing to get arrested? And she wouldn't answer me. She didn't want to say what they were possibly planning to do because they could get their credentials pulled, but she said, we're going to be loud. She said, we've got one physical thing ready to go. I said, you're going to rush the stage? And she said, I can't tell you what we're going to do. Be hard to do. They've got a plastic barrier up all the way around the stage, like bulletproof glass barrier.
So they're prepared for that. I wonder if Hillary Clinton is prepared a speech that includes the what to do when the hecklers show up, if you will.
She doesn't vary from a script.
No, that's what I'm trying to see, how she's going to improvise and handle this kind of disruptiveness.
You have to believe somebody in her campaign said, if this happens, here's what you need to say.
Right.
It's pretty incredible. I mean, security-wise, we have to assume that it's similar to what happened last week in Cleveland when Trump got up. And in that case, it was so secure that some of our sources who have been talking to us, but also our correspondents who work close with the federal government, with the federal agents, they were telling us that off stage last week, they had agents who were in biochem suits with the masks and everything ready to go out in case something were to go off that made it so you couldn't breathe in the room, to go out and get the, in that case, Trump off the stage. You have to assume that they've got that ready to go again tonight. They probably did last night with President Obama, too. They've got to keep security high, and one of those concerns will be protesters getting up on that stage, and you know they're going to get them as quickly as they can if they start heading that way.
You know, it was so weird to listen to, and obviously Ro Khan and Anna DeVlantis are out there, too. They'll be
they're
in after
sitting right
three.
Behind me right now. Oh, they say hello.
Tell them to be ready for crosstalk a little early. But when I heard them reading the votes from the delegates on Ro's show, live as it happened, it was kind of bizarre to me because you'd have people being really excited, like, 75 votes for Bernie Sanders and 32 for Hillary Clinton, the possible next president. It was weird that they're so divided. You know, at least at the RNC, everybody was there and Trump was the man. But here you have so much support going Bernie Sanders' way. But Bernie's saying, you know what, support Hillary Clinton. Right. She's got to be the pick. It's just a weird dynamic.
Yeah, his campaign is trying to dampen down a lot of the protests, saying, okay, if they're going to beat Donald Trump, they've got to come together. And, I mean, we all thought this was going to be the storyline of the Republicans last week, not of the Democrats. And a lot of this comes down to those leaked emails, that the leaked emails have once again divided this party. Bernie Sanders supporters are angry. They say that they feel like that this was stolen from them. The protests that we have seen, they've been outside. We've seen the protest. I mean, the other day during that roll call, Washington and Oregon delegates got up, walked out along with a few others, and then began protesting here in the secure zone. They did a sit-in the press tent. Typically, the delegates aren't the ones who are protesting inside the secure zone, and to actually have protests in the secure zone, pretty incredible. So there's a lot of anger. And the Bernie Sanders supporters, when I was asking those California delegates yesterday, so we didn't see a lot of Bernie shirts and hats and signs yesterday. Are you coming together? They said, absolutely not. That this is not over. They're going to keep fighting.
So now it's more of a movement than supporting a man.
Yeah, I mean, they keep using his name, but it's about what he was pushing for and what he what his ideals were. Mm-hmm. But they still think that he has a chance as a third-party candidate. But it's the same crowd that on Monday, when you talk to them before the roll call vote, they still thought he had a chance of becoming the nominee of the Democratic Party. And you're like, that's going to be kind of hard to do at this point. Well, now they know it's completely over, but they say they're going to keep pushing because they think he could be the next president.
I am not a politico. I am not a pundit. In fact, I hate politics and never really talked about them until this year because it needs to be talked about. But even if Debbie Wasserman Schultz did not favor Hillary Clinton, I wonder if Bernie Sanders would be there. I wonder if he had a chance anyway.
Yeah, you know, hard to say. The emails coming out and what she had to say in the emails definitely got this crowd going. And the belief is that there are more emails and voicemails. They've released a few more this week, but that they've got a lot more potentially from within the Clinton Foundation, potentially among Clinton aides who were talking amongst each other. So when are they going to release those? Will it be the week of the election to make the point? The Clinton camp knows that there's likely more to come. Look what it's done here. And all of our sources are saying that within the intelligence community, they believe this was the Russian operatives working for the government trying to influence this U.S. election. And no matter what they want for the end game, they're influencing this election right now because they have created at times a chaotic environment at this convention.
Well, they're dividing the party. And as you said, we expected this last week. It's happening in the Democratic Party. Everyone expected it in the Republican Party. And the Republicans are going to reap the benefits of this.
Yeah, and that's why you've got Democrats saying, well, clearly this is the Russian government right. trying to help out Donald Trump. Right. Trump says that's a bunch of hogwash, that no, that he has no ties to the Russians and that he doesn't know why they're doing this, if in fact. But he says, who knows if it's even the Russians? He says it could be the Chinese. Well, government sources say it was the Russians, that they have proof of that. But why, what the motive, yes, to right. influence the election, but really what they're trying to do, they don't know.
Thank God he just was being sarcastic when he wanted the Russians to go into Hillary's deleted emails and find those. Thank God it was sarcasm.
Yeah, well, yeah, and interesting that he said that, and then Mike Pence came out a few minutes later in a statement saying that if anybody were to hack into any political party, that they want the full government force to go after them and to penalize them, right after he just made the statement saying go in and find this stuff.
That's why he's running with Trump, to clean up after him.
That is it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Alex Stone, thank you. And tell Ro and Anna we will talk to them.
You know what? Wait, hold on a second.
Wait a second. Is that Ro Khan?
Yeah. Why are you stealing my equipment here to do this? Don't why are you doing this?
That's my microphone.
I paid for this microphone.
You may give me wine at night, but sometimes I like Wendy.
Thank you, Alex. There you go, Ro.
Oh, he just hit me with a... Oh, is that your used napkin?
No, don't worry about it.
Put that in your microphone and talk into it, Ro.
It's wet from the water that we just cleaned up. Don't worry about it. It's all good. All right, we'll talk to you
guys.
Next.
Alex, thank you so much.
Alex.
And we will talk to Ro and Anna live from the floor of the DNC next 720 WGN.